Welcome to the Arcade Repair Tips Question and Answer Podcast, the podcast that answers your questions about arcade repair and restoration. Now, here are your hosts, Tim and Jonathan.
Hello, and welcome to episode 58 of the Arcade Repair Tips Question and Answer Podcast. My name is Jonathan Leung, the producer, director, and editor of the Arcade Repair Tips video series. And joining me today, as always, is Mr. Arcade Repair Tips himself, Tim Peterson. Tim, how you doing?
I am well.
Well, okay, like well as in not sick?
Yeah, well as in all around good.
All around good. Okay, yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're all around good because we have a lot of questions to cover, obviously, Tim, and we will try our best to give the best answers. I know, you know, we always say we don't know everything, Tim, but we always try to do our best job. So, guys, thanks for listening to this episode. Tim, though, before we get into all the questions and everything that we usually talk about, what's going on at Chuck E. Cheese? How have you guys been doing? Now, obviously, since we had our last podcast, you had spring break, and here spring break kind of spanned about a 2 to 3 week period.
Yeah.
And so, and that was really tough because we had Texas Pinball Festival kind of squeezed in there. And so with that in mind, I mean, have things slowed down since that point? And are things still really busy? I mean, obviously, I feel like you might be getting to a lull between spring break and summer. So you're probably getting an opportunity to work on some stuff.
A little bit. Yeah. It's that kind of year where I always say they get slower and I get busier because been able to do a little painting, a little bit of decals, those type of things. Chuck E. Cheese did nationwide go to a buffet during lunch.
Wow, okay.
Which is a big change.
Yeah.
A challenge at the same time.
Now, is this just for lunch? You got dinner?
It's just for lunch.
Okay, just
11
lunch
to 3. As far as I know, in all markets, it's just a lunch to try to build a lunch clientele that's not necessarily bringing the kids or there to play games. Maybe just come have some lunch. So that's new concept. You know, it seems like a lot of new stuff. And probably the thing I'd like to talk about is we got a new game.
Oh, okay.
A new game.
New games are good. So, well, usually you don't get just one new game, right?
Well, what happened was the last game package, one fell in the truck and broke.
Oh, my gosh.
It was just a marquee. In hindsight, I should have just said, well, just let me order a marquee. But
sure.
The installer refused it, sent it back. We just now got it like 6 months later.
Okay.
So, you know, all of a sudden there's this big truck outside and they're unloading this game. I about forgot all about it. And you're like, oh, yeah. So, we got a game called Flying Tickets.
Okay, Flying Tickets. Who's the manufacturer?
It is by, well, I've never heard of this manufacturer before. It's by Adrenaline Games.
Okay, Adrenaline Games.
And they are in Canada.
Okay, Canada.
And so, interesting game. But when you see it, you will know exactly what that game is. Because it is no other than Flappy Birds.
Okay.
There is nothing else to it. It's like, okay, but it says everything but Flappy Birds on it. And all you do is just kind of push a button and fly.
So
and
Flying Tickets, is that what it's called?
Flying Tickets Adrenaline Games. But it's basically Flappy Bird. Every kid sees it goes, oh, Flappy Bird.
Right.
They know how to play it. So we got that game in. So that's the change, you know, anytime you get a new game, kind of, even just for a change-up, you know, to have some new things. So I think that's one thing that I would like to see us do more often. I think anytime, even if you just get a game every 6 months or something, I really don't know what the strategy is behind that. And there probably is a good one.
Sure.
But to me, I mean, a game costs $400 or $500. You can make that up just by having a new game, then you advertise it. We got a new game.
Well, and
with social media.
Sure. And you're saying that Dave & Buster's does that a lot.
They'll say that.
And they usually put their newest games on free play.
Right.
For a limited time. One free play or three free plays or whatever it is. So, I mean, that's a very good point.
I think that is something, because with social media, all I have to do is put it on the floor. And all of a sudden you got, hey, Chuck E. Cheese got a new game. We played this new game. And all this stuff. So anyway, that's kind of what's been going on there with the buffet, and that's been a pretty busy time.
Okay. Well, now, Tim, speaking of busy, like I mentioned, we had the Texas Pinball Festival kind of during your busiest time, during the spring break type period.
Right.
And so we weren't able to go that Friday to cover the show, but we did go Saturday and Sunday, and I think the way we did it this year was a lot different, and I think it was better for those who actually watched the coverage. So, Tim, what we basically had is we actually broadcasted live from the show floor. We had you on a microphone, and we live streamed to YouTube during that time. And, Tim, I really felt like that was probably the best way to cover the show. We got interviews with some people on the show floor, including Charlie from Spooky Pinball, the guys from BP Cabs, Tim, which I hear are going to be on Shark Tank pretty soon, which that's pretty
nice.
Cool. I don't know if you've seen that. And so we've got some other people that we did, you know, live interviews with, and I thought it was a lot of fun. Jersey Jack popped in for part of our walkthrough, and we also got to see Raymond from ArcadeComponents.com, Tim, a good friend, and a great repairer of arcade boards and things. So, I mean, I think it was really great coverage, and we really want to hear back from you guys as to if you liked that style, because, Tim, I think if our audience likes it, we should continue to do it that way. I know in the past we've always covered the seminars, we've done some other things, but I felt like it was really a better way to cover the show. What'd you think?
Yeah, it was a little different format, but the funny thing is it's kind of more fun.
Right. The funny thing is it's actually going back to our roots. I mean, because
it really is.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, because this is the way we used to cover the shows. I mean, we have an old YouTube video where that's what we did. We went around on the floor and we talked to people. And so I think with that in mind, it's almost going back to our roots. So you thought it was better?
Yeah, I think so. I know there were some technical bugs and stuff and we'll get all that worked out, but overall it was it was a little easier on us to just kind of do it on the fly, and spontaneous, you know, is better for me sometimes when I'm just, you know, I'm looking at this game for the first time myself. It's easy, it's fresh right there, and I'm just describing what I'm seeing, and sometimes that, I think people like that about us, that we're not, it's not a lot of canned stuff. We're just, you know, we're better at that.
Absolutely. And of course, Tim, we did do a traditional podcast there, and that's special episode 21. You guys can check that out. And basically, that whole episode, Tim, just covers like the five new games from the top manufacturers. We had Full Throttle from Highway Pinball. We had Big Lebowski from Dutch Pinball. We had, of course, The Hobbit from Jersey Jack. We had Ghostbusters from Stern. And then we also talked a lot about the Multimorphic and Jerry and him, obviously talking about those new games that were released for the platform. So,
and Rob Zombie.
I forgot about that. Charlie Emery, too, from Spooky Pinball. We got that one in there, too. So you guys can go back and kind of, we talk about basically just the new stuff in that podcast. So you guys check it out if you haven't already. That's special episode 21. And then, Tim, I did an interview with our friend Kenny, who's SilentFan85 on YouTube, and it was just a little quick, I say quick interview, Tim, I think it went an hour, which was way longer than I thought it would, but basically he asked me some general arcade questions and some different things, and just had fun shooting the breeze with them and talking. I don't think it's really an interview per se, just a fun time to talk.
So. Yeah, but I like the way that you did it, and if you guys haven't seen this yet, that was a really cool, I don't know what software y'all used to do that, Jonathan, but that was really neat how you guys were switching back and forth, and you could see you talking. I would like to do some more of that in the future.
And maybe we can get around to it, Tim, and use the same kind of thing. But I thought it turned out really well. So you guys can go to SilentFan85's YouTube page. You can check out that video. Really great stuff. And I think we have it linked on our YouTube page as well. So, Tim, the other thing I wanted to mention is we put out a new video. Not quite the same as what we normally do, and I think we branded it as a presidential campaign video for you, Tim. But basically, it was a takeoff of the ASPCA videos with the sad puppies and Sarah McLachlan talking over some really sad music. And, you know, somebody just gives the idea because we posted a link to some damaged arcade games saying, you know, we should have, like, this really sad video. Tim had a lot of fun doing that, and we were able to throw it together basically in a day.
Right.
And so it didn't take us very much setup or time. But I thought it turned out really well, and I thought it was kind of funny. So,
yeah, I think people get to see that, you know, we like to have fun in what we do. It's just the kind of stuff that we do, whether we're filming or not. So, you know, and just a little acting and, you know, and the drama and stuff, more than just talking about games. But at the same time, you know, that's what we do. We take games that are resurrected, and that kind of sad puppy game over there that needs a home. And I know guys like to do that. I think that's what appealed to me mostly to get into the hobby, John, was the restoration part of it.
Absolutely.
Because we're seeing all these games that were so run down and neglected and buildings caved in on. And, you know, some of them we have taken back from dumpsters, from other places. And so, you know, that's kind of our roots, too, is going back to that restoration and saving all the games that we could.
Absolutely. So you guys check that out if you haven't already. It's on our YouTube page. And I think it's, like I said, Tim's campaign spot number one. So I don't know if we're ever going to do a number two, but I figured I'd throw number one on there.
We still got a little time for the election.
That's right. So you guys check it out. And Tim, campaign spot number one. It's a really funny video, just something. And I put parody in there, Tim, obviously, of the ASPCA video. So you guys check that out if you get a chance. Really great stuff. Tim, we, of course, have our question and answer database. And Tim, that's right now over 1,100 questions and answers in the question and answer database. So, wow. I mean, a lot of great information there, guys. So you guys check it out if you haven't already. That's arcaderepairtips.com/questions. And if you guys send us questions, it's a great way to get your question answered without having to necessarily send us a email. I mean, if it's in there, you don't have to worry about it. And that way you already have an answer and you're good to go. So you guys check out the question and answer database, arcaderepairtips.com/questions. And Tim, we also have our exclusive DVD content. Tim, right now we only have our volume one DVD exclusives up on YouTube right now, but they are up there. So if you guys don't want to buy the actual volume one DVD, you can basically get all the content just by buying the bonus footage that's available on YouTube. Okay, and it's available to purchase. It's anywhere from 99 cents to 249. We've talked about this before. If you guys have the volume one DVD, you already have it. But if you haven't bought a volume one DVD, it's a great way to get all that bonus content without having to actually have the DVD shipped to you. So you guys check that out on YouTube. Great stuff. Okay, Tim, let's get into the thanks and feedback section. And the first one we have is from Bracey. And Tim, he was having a sound issue using other JAMA boards in original Street Fighter cabinet. Not right. Street Fighter 2, an original Street Fighter cabinet. And he says, thank you so much for your help. After checking out that diagram, it all started to make sense. I went ahead and spliced wires from the JAMA harness directly into the C6 connector, and now I've got mono from all my other boards, and I am able to retain stereo sound on Street Fighter 1. This issue has been driving me crazy. Thanks again. Happy gaming. So, Tim, what we discovered was that Street Fighter 1 boards actually have a different spot on the board for stereo sound, okay. Which is different from the standard JAMA board. And so in order to use other JAMA boards in that cabinet, you have to hook up the mono sound connector from the harness as well.
I see.
And so that's what happened here. He was like plugging in other JAMA boards. He's like, I'm getting no sound. Well, it's because he didn't technically have sound hooked up to his harness in the correct place. So, I mean, it's a very interesting problem. Really only happens with Street Fighter 1 cabinets, Tim, not so much Street Fighter 2. If you guys want more details on that, please get with us and we'll be happy to share that information with you. Great information, though, from Bracey here, and I'm glad he's able to solve his issue, Tim. And then the other one we have is from Daniel, and this is about tube swapping, Tim, which we get a lot of questions about. And Daniel says, the new TV tube worked, yoke and all, with very little adjusting to be done. I owe a great deal of success on this entire game restoration to you guys and all the time you've put into helping others with our arcade systems. You guys rule. Thanks again, Daniel. Now, Tim, Daniel just asked us some very general questions about tube swapping. But, you know, Tim, I think we talked about this before. If the neck board fits on the neck of the tube, mm-hmm. okay, and your yoke wires fit on the chassis and everything, there's a really good chance it's going to work without any modification. Sometimes you might have to switch out yokes. So, I mean, but this is when we're talking about finding a compatible tube. If you right. find a tube, though, where the neck fits, that's like half the battle right there. Yeah. I mean, that really is. If you can find something like that, a lot of times you'll get lucky and it'll work for you. But it just really depends on what you're looking for. So, and of course, there's more information on several of the websites we mentioned in our resources page if you guys want more information on tube swapping. But we're glad we were able to help Daniel out with his tube swap, Tim. And that's what it comes down to. And Tim, you know, we get a lot more thanks and feedback, but that's all we have for this month. But we do want to thank everybody who sends in questions and obviously sends us back a really good feedback. And thanks for all the information we give. So thank you guys for all of that. We really do appreciate it. Okay, Tim, well, let's get into our questions for this month. And the first question is from Chad. And Chad says, I got a Tekken 3 and the backboard blocks you from discharging the monitor with ease. There's a gray wire hanging from the flyback. I can't see where it is hanging from due to the back of the machine being in the way. Any suggestions? So, Tim, I think we've seen this before in some cabinets. It can be very hard to discharge the monitor depending on the type of cabinet that you have. Tim, I have a Tekken Tag over there that has kind of like a block of wood. It does make discharging the monitor very difficult. Not impossible, right. but it does make it very difficult. And so he's talking about this gray wire that's hanging down from the flyback. And he says he can't see exactly where it is hanging due to the back of the machine being in the way. Okay, so what do you think this gray wire is?
Well, most of the time, those gray wires are some kind of ground.
Right.
Usually going up from your tube.
Right.
But, you know, again, if you're not sure, and I'm just guessing.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes you're going to have to maybe go the extra mile and take the tube out the front and go yes. ahead and look at it.
Right.
And make sure. It probably is a ground
yes.
around your tube. There should be some wires that normally they're either soldered on. A lot of people will cut them.
Right. Especially when removing the chassis.
When you're removing the chassis. So that's probably an old chassis repair, I'm guessing, just hanging there. But the fact he says it's from his flyback, it could just be his earth ground or something that somebody had put in there. So really don't know, Chad, but to be safe, I would take the tube all the way out. Don't guess.
Right.
Don't guess that it's a ground, or don't guess that it's something else. Take it out maybe by after you're looking at it. If you're still not sure, send us a picture then. Maybe we can help you a little bit more.
Yeah, a lot of times, Tim, those gray wires, like you say, they connect either to the neck board or sometimes back to the main chassis. Sometimes we cut them. Sometimes they have like a little female Molex pin that they use or something like that.
And the reason why is because I've seen them be gray in color, exactly with a gray end on it.
Yes, absolutely.
That usually plugs right onto the chassis somewhere.
Right.
That sounds familiar. That's why I'm thinking it's probably a ground. But again, don't want to say for sure. Who knows? And, you know, we run across this fixing games all the time. You're always fixing somebody else's issue.
Yeah, that's right.
Or that they didn't have time with. But I do know, as operators, you know, a lot of times we had to pull a chassis quick. We didn't desolder or anything. We would just cut that wire.
Exactly.
And a lot of times you would see it dangling like that.
Yeah, and a lot of times then we just wire net it back together. Because just in case we ever had to remove the chassis again. And so that's why, you know, a lot of times you'll see it dangling there, like you mentioned. So, Tim, I'm with you. I think this is exactly probably Chad's problem. But like you, I also think he needs to probably pull it out the front to make sure that that is indeed where it's going. Because you always want to double check those things, Tim. You don't want to take a chance on hooking it up to the wrong spot, right?
Right.
Sounds good. Anything else for Chad, Tim?
No. Keep us up to date, though. If you do find out what it is, be sure and let us know.
Sounds good. So, Chad, hopefully that answers your question, and good luck figuring out what that gray wire is hanging from your Tekken 3 arcade monitor. Okay, Tim, let's move to Anthony. And Anthony says, I just purchased the 60-in-1 complete kit and installed it into my upright Ms. Pac-Man cabinet. My game was fully functional going into the conversion, but now the game starts up and everything is there on the screen. I can switch between the games, but not select one. It seems that my player 1 and player 2 buttons are not working as the select fire buttons. Do you have any advice for me? So, Tim, it sounds like Anthony bought the Ms. Pac-Man Multi-K conversion kit, something similar to what JAMA Boards has.
Probably.
Now, obviously, JAMAboards.com, Tim, I do not think they are any longer selling the adapters or the kits that we used to, you know, kind of proclaim. So you can get adapters from other places, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the big question here is I'm wondering if that adapter is mapping everything right, you know, as far as the controls are concerned. But, Tim, anytime we have just basically no controls working on our game board, I mean, what is that usually indicative of?
It's usually that a ground is not hooked up to the buttons. And a lot of times I've noticed in a lot of these boards, there's a separate ground that has to be run.
Right.
And so I would go back and check. And one way that you could do that is find what's ground on your JAMA harness.
Right.
And then go around and touch with your multimeter and do a continuity check and see if you're actually, if everything is. It's also pretty common anytime you go moving and opening up your control panel and all that one thing could come unplugged.
Right.
And have nothing to do with your board. I would verify that by putting back in your Ms. Pac-Man and seeing if it works fine.
Right.
Now, if that's working fine, you know, it's not necessarily a wiring there, but it may need an additional ground on your JAMA 60-in-1.
Now, Tim, I just noticed something here, and we probably should have read a little bit closer. He says he can switch between games. Well, Tim, I think if memory serves me correct, if you don't coin up the 60-in-1, you can switch between them, but you can't select one.
That could be, yeah, that may actually be a simple problem, is not being able to coin up. A good point there, John. Yeah, have you tried to coin it up? Because it may not be on free play.
Exactly. Or you can try switching the board into free play mode, of course.
Yeah, or go on into read your manual and go into your test mode and test all your buttons and see if they're working.
Exactly, yeah, that's right. The 60-in-1 actually has a pretty good test mode, Tim, that does have an input-output test. And so, yes, he could definitely go in there, test it, and make sure everything's working as far as his player 1, player 2, and fire buttons are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Tim, like we said, some of these adapters don't work the same as the JAMA Boards adapters. The JAMA Boards would map fire 1 and fire 2 to start 1 and start 2, but not all of them do. And
right.
So if yours is not doing that, it could be causing some issues with your game, too. And doing the input-output test, great way to check it.
That's what I would try.
Okay,
and
sounds
go from
good.
There.
I think that's good advice here for Anthony, Tim. So I think we'll go ahead and move along. But basically, he needs to double-check his grounds on those buttons, especially make sure that they're working properly and everything, and that they're getting to the ground on his Ms. Pac-Man harness, JAMA adapter, and to his 16-1 board. But also, he may just need to coin it up, Tim, in order to be able to select the game that he wants to play. And so both those, Tim, of course, free play mode might work just as good. So I think with both those, Tim, I think hopefully Anthony will be able to figure out exactly what's going on with his 60-in-1 kit that he's installing into that MISPAC. So Anthony, good luck with your issue, and if you have any other questions, please let us know. Okay, Tim, let's go to Tim. And he says, I have recently acquired a Super Mario Brothers game and I have no power. I've checked all the fuses. Any suggestions? Okay, Tim, so we have Tim, and he's got a Super Mario Brothers game, and he's just wondering why he isn't getting anything. It sounds like there's nothing, complete zero. So whenever we have a cabinet that has no power and complete zero, where do we start?
Well, we start all the way from the plug in the wall.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you can blow a breaker or something just from turning it on, and you don't even realize you tripped a breaker.
Right.
So we start at the plug in the wall, make sure that it's got 120 volts or somewhat near there coming out of the wall. Then we follow it going through the game, and even at your fuses, are you getting power there?
Right.
More than likely, though, you probably got some kind of bad power supply or something's not connected right.
Right.
Just guessing, because you're not getting any power. Now, a lot of times you'll get lights or something else on the AC power when it's your power supply and nothing else, because the DC section is usually what goes out.
Correct.
Because the AC side just kind of flows straight through there. It filters it a little bit, but it doesn't do a whole lot.
Right.
So if you're not getting any power, I mean zero light, zero anything, I would start and even check your cord. You know, we don't say this enough, but I have seen a mini game that just had a bad cord.
Yeah.
And so where your cord comes out into your game, read that with your multimeter and see if you've got power there. Basically, you know, that's just what we do when we're troubleshooting games. We do have an article and a video about just basic troubleshooting.
Yes, we do.
That goes through that. So check both of those resources out and get back with us. I think that usually when I go to look at a game, or let's say we have a game that needs repair.
Right.
Or at an auction, I'd almost like, I almost get a little more excited when they won't come on at all.
Right.
Because that's usually easier to fix than one that's coming on but given some other issue.
Right.
Like won't boot up, or it's dying, or quitting in the middle, or, you know, sometimes they can get real complicated. Usually those that won't come on at all are usually simpler.
Absolutely.
And that's just an opinion, and I know that can be a multitude of things, but usually it's in the wiring or the power supply.
Right.
So those are two areas that I would check right off the bat.
And like you mentioned, Tim, you can't underestimate the fact that it could be like power cord, power plug, AC filter malfunctions, or even fuses. You know, a lot of times, Tim, when we say it was just the fuse, it was because we saw something where the game wouldn't come on at all.
Right.
And so a lot of times if you have a game that is just a fuse, it's because it just wouldn't come on at all. And so that's something to keep in mind, guys. But I think you have great advice here for Tim. Tim is basically, mm-hmm. He needs to start the wall, go all the way back, make sure that he's getting good AC power flowing all the way through his cabinet. And if he does that, hopefully he'll find where the issue is, and then he'll be able to take care of it. So Tim, hopefully that answers your question, and good luck getting that Super Mario Brothers game up and running. Okay, Tim, let's move to Bob. And Bob says, hi, and thanks for your website. It's fantastic, and I've learned so much here. Your video on monitor collapse is great, and helped me discover my problem. I have a vertical collapse in an original Tempest arcade game. I saw your pictures, but I am unable to identify which chip is the vertical IC chip. The game has two circuit boards behind the monitor, one that seems to be connected directly, and another one that's vertically on the left when looking in the back. I looked at the solder on the entire board and don't see any burnt or broken solder, so I'm thinking the entire chip needs to go, but would be so grateful if you could give me more advice as to how to identify it. Thanks. So, Tim, we have Bob here, and he's kind of talking about something we talk about in our post on troubleshooting monitor collapse issues, okay,
yes.
That we have. And so, in that video, we talk about, you know, basically finding the vertical IC chip and then replacing it if it's bad, and that should repair our collapse issues. So, Tim, this is a little bit different, though, because Tempest is a vector monitor, okay?
Right.
It's not a roster monitor that we usually use. And so, with that in mind, Tim, let's first talk about his question. Where do we find the vertical IC on a vector monitor as opposed to maybe a roster monitor?
Well, I'm just going to tell you kind of a cheat in the easiest way.
Okay.
That I do it, because I have this problem, and we've admittedly said vector monitors are not our best
area. Yeah, not our specialty.
I mean, we fixed a few of them, and Most of the stuff we've done is raster, but I'll tell you what I do when I'm on any game. Let's just throw this out. When I'm trying to find out what the vertical IC is, and that is we're going to give out the tip of the week is to Google it.
Yeah, sure.
The reason is because when you Google it, you can often get the data sheets. A lot of them will tell it this is a vertical IC or something. It'll
so basically look for chips. Look for chips on the board.
Right.
Look up the part numbers, and it should tell you what that is.
Now on a raster monitor, I noticed that Michael in his video he teaches us that it's usually close to where the plug is coming in.
Right. The yoke wires.
The yoke wires.
Correct.
He always says it's usually close to that, and I found that to be true on a lot of things.
Right.
Usually on a heat sink, stuff like that. But Google those parts. Something I've been using, Jonathan, I have a magnifying app on my phone.
Yes.
And I can take a picture where I can't even see it with my naked eye, and it will take a picture and blow it way up, and it's clear as day. I can see stuff I never dreamed I'd be able to see again in my lifetime.
Sure.
And it'll tell me, and then I can go and look and see, okay, well, this is a MOSFET transistor, or this is this, or this, oh, this is vertical, this is an IC chip. Okay,
right.
This is probably it. To answer a tough question simply, I Google it.
Yeah, so basically look for the part numbers, find chips that are on your chassis, and then take the numbers that are on those chips and maybe put them into Google. I know, Tim, we've also talked about NTE will cross-reference a lot
yes.
of that stuff. So NTEinc.com, right?
Yes, NTEinc.com, right. You can use that, and they'll cross-reference, tell you another chip that you could buy. So that would be good to do. It's kind of a two-part question, though, and I know we'll get to the second part
yeah.
now. That's how I find the chip.
Okay.
And that would be one way you can do it.
Sure.
By, if you're not sure, look up the ones you think it could be.
Right.
And see if one of them is an IC chip. The second part, though, is I think he probably has horizontal collapse.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's much more common, right?
Right.
I mean, that's what we talk about before.
It's Q102, Q103, those power transistors
right.
will do that.
On vector monitors.
Or it'll be a wiring issue, you know? Sometimes, so if you can kind of wiggle it, how many times have you ever seen a tip that will go in and out
yes.
or something
You'll
like that?
You'll get a little, what do you call that? Kind of a little
a pulse.
The pulsing is a great way to say it.
That's a great way, or eventually they will collapse, but it's usually those transistors and not so much an IC chip on that kind of monitor. From what I've experienced.
Okay.
And so, again, I would refer you to some of the guys on our page that do that for a living.
Sure.
but that will help you at least maybe help somebody else. Any chip that you're having an issue with, just Google it or go to NTE and see what those are. I do it all the time.
Sure.
I'm like, I'm like, I think this is a power MOSFET or whatever, you know, or I don't know if it's a PNP or whatever, and so I'm
a transistor. Yeah.
I mean NPN, you know, I'm looking at all this stuff and I'm going, what is this? And what I'll do is I'll just go and Google it.
Right.
And
so basically
that helps me a lot.
So basically with Bob's question here, he's got two. You're saying, okay, the vertical IC, we're gonna look at the chips on the board, we're gonna Google the part numbers and see what they come back with. But you don't think that's necessarily the problem.
I don't necessarily think that's the problem in
right.
this case. I would check those power transistors first.
Okay.
And especially just reflowing the solder or checking, make sure a leg didn't break on them. That I've seen a lot. Or just a wire going to them is broken or something. So I would check that first. If they're okay, hey, I'm not going to say it couldn't happen. It just doesn't, in my opinion, or what from my experience, doesn't happen as often on them as it does on the video that we're showing.
Gotcha.
And we should probably do more videos and more work on vector monitors. Take that for what it's worth, that we do a lot more work on what I grew up on.
Roster
monitors.
Just a lot more of them around.
And so we don't even have a vector game, I don't think, in our collection right
Not
now.
Not anymore. Yeah.
But we get
used
them
to have some.
Well, we've had plenty, and
right.
they just come and go. So maybe it's time we get another one. So I don't know.
Anyway,
thanks for your question. Wasn't dodging the question as much as just trying to help you. This is how I do it. And so anybody out there, I know sometimes it's just the simplest things. Well, duh, you know, okay, I could Google it.
Right.
Anybody can. But
right. And I think you're right. I mean, usually around the yoke wires, Tim, is a great way, a great place to start searching. So if
right.
there's a chip around those yoke wires, that's probably the chip you should look for first, obviously.
Yes.
So I think that's pretty good for Bob here, Tim. So we'll go ahead and move on. But Bob, thank you so much for the kind words and for the question, Tim. He gave us some great compliments, which we really appreciate. But thank you for that, and hopefully Tim has given you some information that'll get your Tempest back up and running. Tim, we always hate to hear that Tempest isn't running. Not a whole lot of vector monitors around anymore.
Right.
And so we definitely hope that Bob gets his up and running very soon. So good luck with your repair, Bob, and keep us updated on your progress. Okay, Tim, let's go to Ryoga XVX. I have no idea how to say that. I know you're, Tim's like giving me, he was giving me this look like, I don't know how you're going to say that either. So, but anyway, Tim, kind of in the same vein, I think, it says, how are you supposed to adjust the horizontal width coil with the monitor in the way? The tool is too long. So, okay. Tim, we do recommend that you use the alignment tools.
For sure.
Yeah, the monitor adjustment tools
that
you can
buy.
Exactly. Not an Allen wrench for adjusting the horizontal width coil. But, Tim, sometimes you may have a problem where the horizontal width coil maybe sticks straight up and the tube is in the way. You can't get the plastic tool all the way down there. What are your options if you can't get the plastic tube or the plastic adjustment tool all the way down into the horizontal width coil?
Well, again, we're going to go super simple because this is run across the same problem before. I cut the TV alignment tool out.
I mean, it seems like common sense, but you're exactly right.
Right,
I mean,
or cut it down to, if you got an half inch of plastic there, is better than sticking your finger in there or
absolutely.
An Allen wrench. Try that. I think you probably will at least have that much room. Cut your alignment tool down.
And Tim, you can always order another set. It's not like the alignment tools are very expensive.
Right.
So if you want to have like a good set and then like a half set that's like everything's just basically been cut in half.
Right.
To give you that kind of that width of adjustment.
Now, if you can't get your fingers in there, what I would suggest is to cut the alignment tool, maybe use a set of locking pliers.
Yes.
And turn it like that from the side or whatever. But yeah, pretty much you're going to have to rig up something. I've ran across this instance before, but I believe you'll cut it down about an inch or less. You should be able to get in there and do it.
Right. And Tim, I think that's pretty much the simplest answer that you can give. So, I mean, and it's pretty common sense. Tim's like here shrugging. He's like, yeah, I mean, it is what you would do. So.
But again, you know, sometimes it's that common thing that you, like you said, you can always buy another alignment tool. Now, you can link the alignment tools and make it even super long.
Yes, that's true.
And so sometimes I've seen people do it that way, just by making it so long that it actually bends around where you can do it that way. But I would just cut it the way I did before.
Sounds good. So Ryoga XVX hopefully answers your question. Like to mention, just cut the alignment tool. Tim, these things are just plastic. So, you know, a good pair of like wire cutters should basically take care of the job, right? As far as cutting that alignment tool. I mean, it's not like it takes a whole lot. So guys, just like you said, cut that alignment tool, try it again and see if you can get that horizontal width coil adjusted properly. Okay, Tim, let's move to Watson. And Watson says, I have a couple of questions. Okay, so Tim, what we're going to do here, since he has kind of a list of questions, we're just going to go through them one by one, okay? So the first one is, what is an isolation transformer used for in arcade games? Is it for the arcade monitor? Okay, and then Tim goes on, the 120 volts AC goes to the isolation transformer primary, and then the secondary goes to the flyback. Why? Okay, so Tim, let's talk about isolation transformers real quick before we move on. So basically, he wants to know if it's for the arcade monitor.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, isolation transformers are used in the arcade monitor. And Tim, usually you'll have the input coming into the primary and then the output going out to the secondary, right?
Yes.
And so that's how they're usually hooked up. He says, why though? Why do we have to have the isolation transformer?
Well, they didn't always use them. They started about when games were coming out.
Right.
And it's for safety reasons, more than likely. And I'm not an expert on it. If he really wants to go, I mean, I'm kind of one of those simple guys. I think most people know that about me. I don't really understand all the workings of them, know why. I know a little bit about why we have them.
Sure.
Even your new monitors, people say don't have them. Yes, they do. They're built in the chassis.
Right.
So what it does is it isolates, or that AC, from what I understand, you get a lot of ripple and stuff. I always think about it, Jonathan, when we're out in the shop working and the air conditioner kicks on and my light's dim.
Sure.
That will not happen with that isolation transformer. It keeps that fluctuation, especially like we have here in Texas,
right,
from happening. It isolates straight to that monitor. And so it's usually to one area, like to the monitor,
right,
especially. It isolates the power going straight there. I would refer him to Bob Roberts' site.
Yes.
He's got
great article on transformers.
Like I said, more than I ever want to know about them. I really
right.
don't.
I just know how to hook them up, right?
Right,
that's
exactly.
That's the important part.
So he's going to ask some questions here, and I'll be honest, some of them we may have to refer to some. I mean, he sounds like one of those kind of guys who just wants to know how things tick.
Right.
I just want to know that it works.
Or how to get it
working. Or how to get it working, or how to hook it up.
Right.
But I get it. So, yes, it goes to the monitor and it isolates the power. And if you don't put it in there, it's going to blow your monitor up.
Right. You'll probably end up with some bad diodes or something like that. That's usually what happens. Okay, so Tim, let's go ahead and move on here. He says, number two, do you guys know the V-Sync rate and H-Sync rate for arcade monitors? Tim, I'm going to try to tackle this one because when we used to set up advanced menu, which was basically the MAME software we used to use, the menuing system, and advanced MAME, people who might be familiar with those two programs, you have to do a lot of kind of configuring with your display settings on certain arcade monitors in order to get them to work. And so if I remember correctly, I want to say that your V-Sync runs anywhere between 50 and 60 hertz. Okay. And then H-Sync, when we talk about that, that's when we're talking about like the resolution, like the 15 kilohertz, okay, the 25 kilohertz, res, 31 kilohertz. When we talk about medium res, standard res, I believe that's correct. Okay.
Okay.
You can double check that, but we'll leave it there for now.
You should probably check with one of our monitor repair guys.
That's right. To know for sure. But I mean, yes, I mean, I believe that's right. 50 to 60 hertz, I believe, on the vertical, and then 15, 25, 31, I believe, on the horizontal typically. And that would be, like you said, Tim, just 15 being the standard resolution that we talk about, 25 being medium resolution, and 31 being VGA resolution. And right. So usually with 31, you have like a VGA plug associated with that as well. So, I mean, again, just kind of trying to pull that from memory, but I hope that all comes out. Okay, Tim, let's move to question three. He says, what is the coin-sized battery used for in arcade games? Is it for the settings and to keep the EEPROM chips turned on when the power's off? Does the battery go to the watchdog circuit? Now, Tim, I know kind of the first question you ask, okay, it is usually used to hold the settings in an arcade board.
Right.
Okay, because we've had arcade boards, we take the battery out, we lose the settings, right? Okay, so we know that it typically has to do with saving the settings on the arcade board. But, Tim, I don't know much about the watchdog circuit. Do you know anything about that? Is there anything you can really elaborate on as far as the watchdog circuit and the battery concerned? I don't think the two are related, but well, I could be wrong.
Kind of a definition, the watchdog timer is a hardware timer automatically generates a system reset if the main program neglects to periodically service it. So it's kind of like a loop.
Right.
And it has different things. So probably yes.
Okay, yes.
Again, that's a guess on my end.
And it might even depend on the board.
It may.
You know, I mean, some boards may operate differently than other boards. And
right.
So it's really hard to tell. It's hard to give like a general yes or no.
He said in arcade games, he didn't say a specific game. So most of the time in games, your battery does control some, like your high score saves and stuff that you would want to save, or your settings.
Right.
How many men, those type of things that you would want to set the difficulty and stuff like that.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, that's how I know it as, Tim, is just saving settings. So, okay, Tim, let's go ahead and move on to number four. He says, when using a logic probe, how do you tell if the ROM or RAM chips aren't working? What software program do you use to back up ROM data and load the ROM arcade code into the ROM chips? Thank you for your help. Now, Tim, we should first say that we don't do a lot of ROM programming.
No.
In fact, hardly any.
Right.
And so most of the time we buy them from places like Hobby ROMs who can just burn them for us and get the job done. And so, you know, the best thing to do would be probably to check with somebody like that, Hobby ROMs, to see what they use, what their rig is. And, Tim, there are a lot of people on KLOV and stuff who have described what their rig is for burning ROMs and, you know, copying ROMs and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I would obviously refer him to those threads if that's what he wants to find out. But as far as using a logic probe is concerned, how do you tell if the ROM or RAM chips aren't working?
Again, most people like this about me. I use a real simple approach. I use it more or less to follow the five or the voltage.
The voltage, right.
And when the voltage stops, is usually the problem. If this chip is working or it reading the right voltage, although I have used the cookbook and all that, most of the time I'm just following the voltage.
Right.
And if I see that it's good here, but the next chip, I'm not getting any voltage, I back up to the one before it.
Sure.
Or if it's not on the other side, you know, it doesn't go through the chip.
Now, you mentioned the TTNL. Obviously, you can look chips up in the TTNL. It'll tell you, you know, which ones you should be getting input and output on and all that kind of stuff.
It's all about pulses and things like that. So if it's not pulsing and not doing what it's supposed to do, that's
on the correct pins, whichever those pins are for the chip.
Again, this is something, like you said, for our practical purposes, you usually find people who are specialized in this area because it's very time-consuming.
Exactly. Yeah, to troubleshoot at this level, at board level, is obviously a very time-consuming
But have
endeavor.
We done it? Yes. Ms. Pac-Man, Pac-Man boards, there's a lot of information out there about them.
80s boards are the best to learn on and to troubleshoot on. I mean, when you start getting into the newer stuff, Tim, it gets very
Where the surface-mounted chips and stuff starts getting tough for us, but hopefully that'll help a little bit. Yeah, that's what I do. I follow the voltage, and if I'm reading it and then the next ship in line doesn't have any voltage at all, I go back to one before it. But so much, John, we have done. We have probably repaired more games with a flashlight or something where we could just see. Most of the time we could tell the chip was damaged.
Exactly.
More than we could read it.
Yeah. It just depends, Tim. Every board is different. Sometimes you have to shift boards off if you can't figure out what the problem is.
I've had luck both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Tim, I think we covered all of Watson's questions. And right. I think there were more than a couple. You know, he said up front that there were a couple, but I think we had a couple more. That's okay, Watson. We'll take all that you give us. So hopefully we've been able to help you a little bit more understand arcade games. Tim, we're not the most technical guys. We'll even admit that. But hopefully, Watson, if he needs additional answers about the real technical side of things, he'll contact some of the people we have on our resources page and maybe even try the KLOV forums where there are people who explain like the rigs they have for copying ROM chips and things like that.
Yes.
And so, Watson, hopefully we helped you a little bit, and good luck with your future arcade repairs. Okay, Tim, to keep things family friendly, I'm just going to refer to this guy as Hole 844.
Okay.
There are three letters in front of it. Not going to say what they are. But anyway, Hole 844 says, I was wondering if you could help me. I acquired a pole position, and I did the coin switch to get the credits, like you said, but now it is stuck in free play mode. How do I get it out of free play mode? So, Tim, it sounds like what Hole 844 did here was he basically rigged up a coin switch to give the credits, right? Just like we do in our video on how to add free play to a game.
Right.
Okay? But now he's wondering how he gets it out of free play mode. Well, Tim, he should just be able to disconnect the switch that's given the free credits, right?
Right, or it's actually in free play mode.
Correct.
With a dip switch setting.
Right.
We've shot a video about dip switches he should look at, but unless he messed with some switch, even you can even do that accidentally sometimes.
Absolutely.
That could be the problem, or sometimes you hook up the switch wrong, too. You can actually... There's three legs on a switch.
If it's got a normally open, normally closed.
Yeah, if you put it on normally closed, it's just going to keep on giving credits.
All the time.
Right. So, want to make sure that that's hooked up to the normally open one.
Absolutely. That way, when you hit the switch, it actually makes the connection.
Right.
And that's what we want.
But basically, you could take that switch out of circuit if you need to. But that a couple ideas. It's either a dip switch on your board or your switch is wired up wrong.
Sounds good. So Hole 844, hopefully that answers your question. And Tim, I'm sorry we couldn't say your full name, but keep it family friendly next time. We won't worry about it. So there you go. Hopefully we helped you with your pole position question. Good luck with your future repairs. Okay, Tim, let's move to Rich. And Rich says, I have a Golden Tee 2005 4 tournament play game I am currently having issues with. The screen flickers from bright to normal sometimes without even striking the trackball. Curious if you had any suggestions or could possibly point me in the right direction. Thank you for all your help, Rich. Now, Tim, this issue seems to be very common with Golden Tee cabinets, okay? And I think it's because they get beat on so much. Physically
probably so.
Beat on,
yes.
With the trackballs and everything
well,
like that.
Well, because we've all hit that shot and about jammed three of your fingers hitting the glass.
The glass,
and stuff.
Right.
We have this common issue with any game at Chuck E. Cheese that you have to hit or punch or, you
whack
know,
a mole whack or something like that.
Yeah, something to that extent. Usually what happens is you have some cold solder joints and stuff that are caused from that. So if you could take out a chassis and reflow the solder, especially the wires coming in, your power wires and such, that may cure it because he's not saying he's having much other issues.
Right.
Just the brightness kind of goes and flickers a little bit. And usually that is pretty indication that you have a bad solder joint, probably or some connection loose.
Right, correct. And Tim, with this being basically the brightness being jacked up and then coming back down, that would lead me to think maybe something in the power supply section of the monitor, you know, because maybe there's something that's allowing more voltage through or something not acting right, and that's what's causing this brightness to come on that normally isn't there. And so, you know, that might be the first place I would start is power supply section of the chassis, make sure that all of that is soldered up well and working properly. And Tim, I'm with you. I mean, basically, he needs to go through his whole chassis, make sure there's no cold solder joints and check his connections, especially to make sure that they're connected properly. Tim, anything else for Rich before we move on?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, Rich, well, hopefully that answers your question. Your Golden T4 probably has some cold solder joints or maybe just some loose connections somewhere. Probably a great idea. Take out that chassis. Let's go ahead and solder up all of those cold solder joints and then check our connections, make sure they're working. Should get you going on your Golden T4 2005 cabinet. Okay, Tim, let's move to Jimbo. And, you know, Tim, I think The Simpsons. I'm a big Simpsons fan. All right. Character on The Simpsons. But anyway, wish you lived in my area, bro. I'd have you take a look at my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cabinet, which is getting no sound. I guess I can try just swapping the speakers out, as that's something low cost and not overly expensive. And Tim, he didn't put expensive in there, but I'm assuming that's what he meant. Okay. Now, Tim, the thing about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is it's a Konami board, and they're kind of notorious for having sound chip issues, yes. Which are repairable.
Right.
Okay, so you can fix it. And there's a lot of documentation out there. And I'll send a link, Jimbo, to you about that documentation. But outside of repairing that sound chip on the board, Tim, what else can Jimbo do here in order to repair his problem? Now, we do have a video on troubleshooting sound issues.
Yes.
Okay, and so he probably needs to check that out if he hasn't already. But with that in mind, Tim, what else can Jimbo do in order to get his sound working?
Well, we always start simple. He can check his speaker.
Sure.
Without taking it out of the game, he can take an ohm meter, and we show that in our video, read the ohms and see if his speaker is good.
Right.
Visibly inspect it. Try that in another game or something, or hook up a computer or something to it.
Right.
But at the same time, it's normally not the speaker. They just don't go out that often.
Right.
For what arcade games? They're not pumping that much sound and, you know, get blown that often, although it has happened.
Absolutely.
Usually it's in a wiring issue or, like you said, it's on the board itself.
Right.
So he needs to check all of his connections and his wires going to it. It is JAMA, so he can trace his wires back pretty easily to his harness. Other than that, though, I'm like you. I'm glad you'll send in that link. I think that may be his issue more than anything.
Yeah.
That's JAMA.
Right.
So, again, we would always recommend having another JAMA board around to test in there to see if...
you're getting sound with
if
that.
If sound with that,
sure.
Then you can eliminate your wires in your speaker real quick.
Right. And, Tim, we also talk about -5 volts in our video as well. Some boards require the -5 volts line be hooked up in order to get sound, and that's something that always keeps
in mind. It'd almost be interesting to know, when did this happen? Did he buy it like that? Did it just quit one day? You know, those things like that sometimes play a role.
Yeah, but these Konami boards, Tim, are notorious for the sound chips going out, and
right.
That's why I'm saying this in particular. Because
that's
could
why
just
I
be...
think if it just failed, it, someday he turned on the game and all of a sudden had no sound. That's where that would lead me.
Sounds good. So, Tim, I think that'll get Jimbo taken care of with this issue. Hopefully, he'll be able to fix it up. Maybe with the tutorial we'll give him on the Konami sound chips. Maybe with some of the advice you've given him. Hopefully, between the two, we'll get a good solution to Jimbo's problem. So, Jimbo, hopefully answers your question. Good luck getting the sound restored on your Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade cabinet. Okay, Tim, let's move to Brad. And Brad says, I have recently received a Super Mario Brothers game and nothing happens when turned on. Man, this sounds really familiar all of a sudden, Tim. I have checked the fuses and looked for bad solder traces. I found none. I cleaned and still nothing. Any suggestions? So, Tim, this is very similar to the question we had earlier. I should have grouped them together. I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, we did kind of answer it, so we're not going to expound too much on that. But more than likely, your power supply crapped out on you, or you got a wiring issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Check it at the wall.
Right.
Don't forget. You know, sometimes we think about that so simple. It's real easy to turn your games on or something, trip a breaker, and not even realize you're not getting power out. Or just plug in a lamp or a vacuum cleaner or something into that socket. Shop vac, something like that, power tool. Make sure you are actually getting power out of there.
Absolutely.
Don't believe how many times I've had a manager call me at work. We're getting no power to this game, nothing, you know, and I go back there and flip a breaker or something.
Well, and Tim, you can also do that by sticking your multimeter probes into the wall socket, basically, and you can measure the voltage coming out of it as well. And so, Tim, with all that in mind, though, Brad's question, very similar to Tim's question that we had earlier. So
right.
Go back, Brad, and listen to the advice we gave Tim, and hopefully that advice will help you as well. Like Tim mentioned, got to start at the wall, go all the way through the game, make sure we're getting AC power all the way through there. Hopefully, with that advice, you'll be able to get your game up and running. Okay, Tim, let's move to Mike. And Mike says, I have a Pac-Man cocktail table, and the G07 CBO went out. A new one was installed, but now all it does is start up to the screen that says Samurai, I think. It is hard to see a screen that has little color. It also has no sound at all. So I'm wondering if it is a monitor, or did the power supply go out, or did my main Pac-Man board take a dump? If you could please provide any insight on this, I'd really appreciate it. The thing has been a pain in my butt, and I don't really know anything about fixing these things, just playing them. Thank you. Now, Tim, with that last sentence in mind, if you like playing games and you want to own one, you better at least get somewhat familiar with fixing them,
right, as we've talked about. Or have plenty of money for repair.
That's right. Exactly. So, Tim, we have Mike here. He's got a G07 monitor chassis in his arcade cabinet, it sounds like, his Pac-Man cocktail. Okay, and he says it starts up to a screen that says Samurai. Okay, I think.
Yeah, that's strange, but go ahead.
That is strange. So I'm like wondering, what is it? It says, it is hard to see a screen that has little color. Is that a statement, or is that what the screen's doing? I'm going to assume that's what the screen is doing.
Right.
Because, Tim, I will agree, it is hard to see a screen that has little color.
Yeah.
I will agree with that. But I think what he's saying is, it is hard to see the screen.
Right.
And it has very little color.
Yeah.
So, Samurai, Tim, I mean, what would cause Samurai? I mean, it could be a bootleg, maybe, of Pac-Man. Perhaps it's a video converter with a 60-in-1, and the video converter saying Samurai, or there's a multi-board in there that's booting up to Samurai. To me, it has to be one of these things in order to be getting that message. What do you think?
Probably so. That's throwing me a little bit for a loop, because sure. I've never seen that.
Yeah, me neither.
So if your board is at least 15, 16 inches long,
right,
and a foot wide, yeah, probably a Pac-Man board.
Right.
If it's smaller, 6 inches or so small, it's
right,
probably a bootleg,
right,
or something.
Yeah.
Or even smaller, you might Google some images for Pac-Man boards and see if you actually have a dedicated board. If so, what you need to check is, what's strange is, remember that if it's your monitor and nothing else, your game is always going to play blind.
Absolutely.
You'll hear it, and you'll be able to play. You just won't see anything on the screen. So based on what you're describing, it could be a multitude of things. Could be your board.
Yes.
But more than likely, it could be just your power supply or something going out, because it went out, kind of.
Right.
The way you said it went out. Well, I would check. Always start at power. We got a video on. We work on a cocktail cabinet. We show that
a
little bit.
Opening a cocktail cabinet.
We also got a video where we talk about old school power supplies and stuff like that.
That's right.
Need to watch that video. Hopefully, all those will help you. And I do, you know. So we still need a little bit more information to really pinpoint. But go back and do those things first, Mike, and then let us know. We'll get down to the. We'll get you there, buddy. I don't want you to get too discouraged. Because I don't think you got a major problem. We just need to pinpoint what is causing this issue.
Yeah, pain in the butt is not a real great description, you know, for the kind of feeling we want you to feel when you're repairing a game.
Exactly.
You know, we want you to feel like you have confidence that you can overcome that,
yeah,
and that you can
or
fix
like
it.
Or like a scratch and you just need a Band-Aid or something.
Yeah.
You know, what a total pain in the butt.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, sounds good. Sorry.
That's okay. We don't have to edit.
No, I'm not going to edit any of that.
What?
That is golden. So, okay. Yes. So hey, this show is real, folks. And it's all done in one take, right? That's
yeah,
it right there.
Arcade hemorrhoid.
That's what I was thinking. So, anyway. So, Mike, hopefully answers your question. Like Tim mentioned, I mean, to me, the Samurai makes me think more of a multi-board type thing that you're probably having problems with.
Something there is, or is he just reading some screen burn
right,
or something? I don't know.
Who knows? I mean, it's
take
really
a picture.
Hard to tell.
Really, you know, especially some of your newer guys, I know when you listen, you send in, sometimes that picture or a video. I mean,
sure,
everybody's smartphone shoots a quick video.
Upload to YouTube real quick. Send us the link.
Send us the link. Load it on Facebook page,
yeah,
or something. And anyway, we'll be glad to help you a little bit more, Mike, down the road. I think we got to kind of determine a little bit more about what's going on first. So watch our videos, because we do definitely have some that are going to specifically help you with that stuff.
Sounds good. So, Mike, hopefully that gives you a little bit more insight to your question. I think a picture in this particular case would really help. So maybe if you can get some picture of the screen and the inside of the cabinet, we'll try to help you out further. But if you have any additional questions, please let us know. We'll try to help you out. And good luck getting that Pac-Man cocktail table up and running. Okay, Tim, let's move to Paulo. And Paulo says, I have a Cruisin' World arcade game, and my monitor only shows a thin line horizontally across the middle of the screen. What is likely the problem? Well, Tim, the funny thing is that we have a video on this, repairing monitor collapse issues, and I think in the post for that video, we actually show a Cruisin' USA with a horizontal collapse.
Yes.
And so that's probably something you need to take a look at if you haven't already. But Tim, we've already talked tonight about vertical ICs. We've already talked about vertical ICs tonight, so that would be the thing, right?
Well, yeah, we're going to just say watch that video because I think that will help you more than anything. But not a hard problem, and very common.
Right.
Very common vertical collapse, and that will happen.
Absolutely. So, Paulo, hopefully that answers your question. Make sure you check out our video on repairing monitor collapse issues and do some more research about vertical ICs, and hopefully you can get your Cruisin' World arcade monitor back up and running. Okay, Tim, let's move to Kit. And Kit says, "Hi, I have a Buster Brothers JAMA board that suicide battery probably killed it. Do you know of a company who can fix this and remove the battery as well as test and put new EEPROMs in it? I have an idea of how to do it, but do not have any parts. Please let me know. Thanks, Kit." Well, Tim, there are a lot of people who do this service. Mm-hmm. We've mentioned, I think, Raymond before.
Yeah, ArcadeComponents.com
will do it.
Advertises that he does this, right?
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, that's one person to contact. But, Tim, we also have a lot more people on our resources page. So if you go to arcaderepairtips.com/resources, you look under board repair or PCB repair. There's a lot of people under there, too, Tim, that I think could take care of this problem. Tim, there's people all over, it seems like KLOV and some of these other forums, too, that advertise this service. So, I mean, if you're looking for somebody to kind of stretch your hand out to, I think those would be some good forums.
Look for that suicide battery fix.
Yeah.
And Google that. There's also some do-it-yourself pages out there.
Yeah, I think there are some kits that you can get, too. Yeah. You know, the problem is that if it requires new EEPROMs, you're going to need an EEPROM burner.
Exactly.
Or you're going to have to buy the EEPROMs from somebody like Hobby ROMs or something like that. And so there are some places you can get that. And like you said, Tim, there are some instructions out there that will sell you a kit with kind of all that installed.
But we're going to highly recommend Raymond.
Absolutely. He does a good job and, you know, always a great guy to send your boards off to. And Tim, he does get very busy, but he does a great job with what he gets and returns to people. So you can check out Raymond at arcadecomponents.com, or you can check out our resources page for more people kit who can fix you up with your Buster Brothers board. Or you can check some of the different arcade forums. There's a lot of people who provide this service. And Tim even mentioned, you know, go online, finding some instructions and doing it yourself. Those are all options for you, Kit. It just depends on what direction you want to go. So thank you so much for your question and good luck getting that Buster Brothers board back up and running. Okay, Tim, let's move to Kenny. And Kenny says, "I am looking at purchasing an NBA Jam machine. I went to have a look at it, and it doesn't work. The marquee lights up, and the screen lights up black, but there is no game sound. I also hear the buzz of the monitor working. Any ideas?" Well, Tim, earlier we talked a little bit about power supplies, and it seems like this might be more of a power supply issue. What do you think's going on?
Exactly. When you have that, the lights are on, but nobody's home.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to call that syndrome. You see those top lights. Remember, those are AC.
Right.
And so your AC, that's why you're getting your monitor even. You're
exactly.
Even getting some buzz and stuff because, remember, it goes, AC voltage goes up there.
Sure.
But you're not getting a picture because there's no power being generated through the board.
Right.
So check your power supply. This is a poster child case of power supply failure.
Poster child. So you're going to put it up there and just like, I'm going to put it on milk cartons. This is the one, right?
Exactly.
Poster child.
It is the poster child scenario.
Have you seen this power supply?
Yes. So I would almost bet that this is a power supply failure.
Absolutely. And Tim, this is common.
Or it's just not turned up enough. Sometimes
could be that.
It just needs adjusting.
Right.
I was going to say
in these NBA Jam, NBA Hangtime, NFL Blitz, cabinets, power supply issues, very, very common.
Right.
And so, I mean, I had to replace it on my Showtime Blitz cabinet. I've had to replace them on NBA Jam cabinets before. Not an uncommon thing to have to replace.
If it is, go to Hap Control's website. They actually have a recommended power supply that game.
They do.
And what I've seen is, and we've been guilty of it at Chuck E. Cheese ourselves a lot of times. Everybody knows the game Smokin' Token. You know? Well, it only runs off of 12 volts.
Right.
Think about that. Everything, the wheel spinning, the kick it max, the coin lights, the displays, the ramp lights, the motor to the wheel that's spinning. I'm talking about that's a lot of stuff for one power supply.
So I can run that thing off a car battery? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's exactly what happens is if you just put, I can put any 12 volts in there and it'll work. Maybe for a day or two, you'll start getting an error. One, I realize, I need to go back. I buy a higher amped up
12 volts.
Just made for 12 volts.
Sure.
And after that, we're gold. So specific power supplies work in specific games. Don't always think you can just throw anything in there. depends on the amps and things that it needs. So I highly recommend that you get the one that's supposed to go with that machine.
Absolutely. And Tim, I think that's a great recommendation for any machine that you're looking at. Newer machines, Tim, like you mentioned, HAP actually has a kind of catalog that you can go through to see the machine and see the power supply it's supposed to have in it. And so now, Tim, the problem with NBA Jam is some of them were conversion machines. And if it's a conversion machine, it might use a different power supply. And that's something to keep in mind. But go to hapcontrols.com or suzohap.com, Tim, and you can find that list of all the games. Tim, maybe we'll link to it as well so they can see it. But great, great resource for you guys. And you can find the exact power supply you need to use in your NBA Jam cabinet, Kenny, if you go there. So, like Tim mentioned, probably a power supply issue on this one. And so make sure that you go to suzohap.com, find the right power supply for it, replace it, should get you back up and running. Okay, Tim, let's move to Carl. And Carl says, hi, I have a Super Pac-Man cocktail table that works and powers on. I don't know why he's writing us, Tim.
Right.
I mean, it works and powers on. What more do we need to know? Okay, let's continue.
It did.
Oh, okay, let's continue here. For a while, the picture would come on and there would be a double Pac-Man on the screen. One character had lines running through it, just that one. But it came in and out clear and went out when the cabinet monitor was lifted. I cleaned the pins on the board and reconnected it. Now the screen is all messed up and the speakers put out a loud screeching noise. Any ideas? I was thinking wiring harness or board so I can test the Pac-Man board by plugging it into a different JAMA game with the same harness adapter. Any help is appreciated. Okay, Tim, we have Carl here. He's got a Super Pac-Man that was working and powering on fine. Okay.
Right.
But then he would get kind of these lines running through it, or a double Pac-Man, you know, kind of some weird board stuff, it seemed like. And then it said it came in out clear, went out when the cabinet monitor was lifted. And I don't know what that means, cabinet monitor lifted. Like, I guess did he lift the cabinet monitor out? I mean, I don't know exactly what that means. He says he cleaned the
cocktail,
pins.
So probably when he moved it.
Maybe when he opened it up. Okay, lifted. Okay. I cleaned the pins on the board and reconnected it. Now the screen is all messed up, okay, and a loud screeching noise. So in other words, was working fine. We opened it up, or working fine, had a couple of issues. Opened it up, closed it back up, issues galore. Okay, so what's going on here with Carl's Super Pac-Man cabinet? Now, one question he asked him is, can he plug the Pac-Man into a different JAMA game with the same harness adapter?
Well, obviously, since Super Pac is not JAMA.
Right.
He's running some kind of JAMA adapter.
Right. It sounds like that. Correct.
So he should be able to, if you got a JAMA adapter, don't go plugging Super Pac into just any JAMA harness.
You will need an adapter between the JAMA harness
and
the board for it to
work. After reading this a second time, I think he's got that.
Yes, it sounds like
that. So yes, you should be able to do that.
Right.
That's what its purpose is.
And that will tell him whether or not the board is working properly, which is what we really need to know at this point, correct?
Yeah. So now what it sounds like, and we're going by description of how you move. Anytime you're able to move the monitor and you're getting images to go away, you really need to check your, what am I saying, John?
Convergence. Okay.
My mind was just blank.
So like the
convergence,
basically the yoke and the convergence
will cause a double image sometimes.
That's true.
And so, and depending on what he was seeing, it could be a convergence issue.
Now the lines running through though do sound kind of more like a board issue to me.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Or it could be a wiring harness.
Right.
Especially when anytime you run adapters real easy. Some of them are made really well, and some are just kind of thrown together or home brewed and stuff. And so I would definitely check all the soldering and the connections. Also, one thing I've seen with adapters before, make sure that your solder's not touching two pins.
Yes, that happens a lot.
Creating an issue there. Other than that, I think, you know, he can test it in another game, but I would really fine-tooth comb that adapter. Also, make sure that when you're getting scrambled screen and buzzing and stuff like that, it almost sounds like it's not really in good.
Right.
Especially on a Pac-Man style, although it's Super Pac.
Yes.
Cabinet, I would really check that connection good.
Sounds.
And you can check your voltage and stuff just to make sure
nothing
like that has been altered.
I'm with you, Tim. It really does sound, I mean, if I had to just diagnose it right off the bat, I'd probably say board issue. But with the adapter in mind and some of the other things, I think that's going to be very important for him to make sure that all that stuff is connected properly. And so that's going to be big. Checking the power is going to be pretty big. Of course, if he moves that adapter and the board into a JAMA cabinet and it's still not working, then we know we have board issues.
What's really interesting is, what was this cabinet? Because most cocktail cabinets aren't JAMA.
That's true.
That's what's bothering me a little bit.
Right.
You know, not very many cocktail cabinets were JAMA that you would go and have an adapter to take back to Super Pack.
Well, I mean, I don't think this would
but
be...
But that's not right. That uncommon.
Right, well, look at it this way. Okay, let's say an operator had a cabinet, that a cocktail cabinet, he'd wired JAMA at one time to put
converted
it, and then he had a Super Pac-Man board lying around and thought, I'll just throw it in there when I sell it, or whatever the case may be. And so that could have happened to him. It's not uncommon, like you said, but not common, I would say.
Right.
You know, it's not something we see all the time, for sure. I mean, because many times when we see JAMA cocktail cabinets, they're the side-by-side versions, it seems like. Because most of the JAMA games, are horizontal,
right,
not so much vertical. It, very interesting, Tim, kind of discussion about that. But, yeah, I think here the main thing is going to be identifying whether or not he has a board issue. Okay, and so by doing things like plugging the board into another JAMA cabinet, we can tell. And of course, checking the voltage and checking the wiring and checking the adapter itself, Tim, all of those things should be good steps in the right direction for Carl. Anything else you want to give him, Tim, before we move on?
No, we'll go on, but Carl, just let us know. Give us some more feedback on what you did to fix this or what it ended up being.
Sounds good. So Carl, hopefully answers your question, and good luck getting that Super Pac-Man cocktail table back up and running. Okay, Tim, let's go to Pete. And Pete says, I have a Golden T4 2005 game that keeps freezing. Sometimes the audio goes on for a few seconds after the video freezes, but it doesn't play blind, as I've seen you guys discuss. Any troubleshooting ideas I could try? Thanks. Okay, Tim, so we have Pete here. He has a Golden T4 2005 game. Tim, I'm not sure how new this game is. I don't think it's a computer board at this point. I think it's a lot. It's probably mostly computer, but it's probably not all the way computer like we see with the latest versions of the game.
Right.
And so that's something to keep in mind. But he's getting this freeze. It's basically like the video's freezing. Now, I do believe these have separate video cards, though, if I remember correctly. This
yes.
board set does. So it could be an issue with the video card that's connected to the board. I mean,
yeah, it's
that's
more than likely either his power supply. I would check your power at the time it freezes.
Absolutely.
If it has dropped, then you know, well, duh, it's a power supply. If it's still fine and you're freezing up, then it probably is your video.
Yeah, and I think I remember that those do have a separate video card on them, Tim, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And so he might just be able to swap out the video card if he continues to have video issues. But, Tim, I'm with you. It could very well be a power supply issue. A lot of times when we see freeze-ups like this, it is a power supply issue because it's just getting too low voltage. And, Tim, especially, again, in games like Golden T4 where the game is constantly being beat on, it's very easily for those things to kind of get out of adjustment, right? Those
yes.
are knobs and things. And
so check your voltage, too, and make sure you might need to just tweak the power supply
right.
a little bit.
Good on these boards to go up a little bit higher than normal, I would say.
Yes, and also make sure it's probably, I mean, just to let him know, it's probably not your monitor at all. So don't
worry about your monitor.
No need to even go there.
Right. Yeah, probably either a board or power supply issue at this point. And I think, you know, Tim, like you said, maybe he needs to replace that video card on the board. Maybe he just needs to check power supply. When I mean turning the voltage a little bit past what it should be, we're talking about going up to like 5.1 on the 5 volts line. You know, just going up enough to maybe give it a little bit of extra kick that it needs to actually get into that next scene or wherever it's trying to load. And so, now, Tim, I don't think this uses a hard drive. But I'm not for sure. If the board uses a hard drive, you could have hard drive failure.
2005?
Yeah, I'm
does.
Not for sure. But if it does, you could have a hard drive failure.
Yes.
And that would be the other point to bring up. And so, you know, if you have a bad hard drive, of course, they have flash kits for a lot of games now. Of course, Tim, IT is still in business. Incredible technology.
Yes,
so you can still contact IT and maybe get some support for it. I know it's been a while since this game's been out, but you might be able to contact IT as well and get some tech support for it. I know they have some manuals and some other things on their website that might help you out. But I'm not sure about the hard drive thing. I'm just saying, Tim, if it has a hard drive, that it might be a good idea to go ahead and replace it. That might be what's causing the video freeze ups. So, Tim, do you know if it has a hard drive?
I'm looking it up. That they sell one for it, so I assume that it's showing that looks like they do.
Okay,
so
if they do sell a hard drive for it, it might be time. And Tim, of course, you know it's become real popular right now are the flash kits, right?
Yeah.
And so you know it might be the flash kits or something. It looks like
$50 on eBay.
Well, it looks like yeah. There you go, hard drive. So yeah, it could be that too. So I mean, you know, it could be a number of things here, Pete. But hard drive is definitely an option as well. So Tim, let's go over those things again. Video card.
Yes.
Hard drive.
Yes.
Power supply.
Yes.
And if we were going to actually prioritize them, I would say power supply
first.
Right. Power supply should be the first thing that you check. If everything is getting good voltage, then you can move on to maybe hard drive first, then video card after that. And so, Pete, hopefully answers your question. Good luck getting that Golden T4 up and running 100%. Hopefully those freezing issues will take care of themselves once all of that is taken care of. Okay, Tim, let's go to Michael. And Michael says, I have a Ms. Pac-Man Galaga combo. The screen looks fine for an hour or two, and then just suddenly gets fuzzy and the colors are off. It also has ghost images. Does it need a cap kit?
Yes.
Yeah, it sounds very... next question. It sounds very much like a cap kit issue.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah, so I mean, I would say that's probably the direction.
Again, this would be a good way to troubleshoot stuff, guys. At the point of failure, what happens with your power supply at that point?
Right.
Do you still got same amount of power that you had 2 minutes before, then it's probably not your power supply. I would definitely probably think it needs a cap kit. Probably got some caps that when they're pushed really for a while, for 2 hours, you know, so he's been playing a while and getting hot.
Right.
They could need some cold solder joints, but if they're getting that hot and failing, it probably is. Yeah, definitely. I would start with a cap kit.
Well, and that's a great point, Tim. You know, something we don't mention a whole lot is that when you do a cap kit, you should be looking for cold solder joints as well, because you never know. There might be cold solder joints not connected to a cap that you need to repair. And so make sure that you're also looking for cold solder joints whenever you do a cap kit. Yeah, Tim, I think this is going to take care of it right here. I think if he does the cap kit, and Tim, he can go to our video on installing a cap kit, find some great information there. But I think if Michael takes care of that, hopefully it'll solve his issue. So, Michael, hopefully answers your question, and good luck getting that Ms. Pac-Man Galaga combo game back up and running. Hopefully we can get that fuzz out of it. Okay, Tim, let's move on to Joe. And Joe says, hello, my mother has owned an old sit-down style Ms. Pac-Man arcade machine for the last 20-ish years. She's had it repaired a few times for the scrolling picture, but it sat for the last 6 or 7 years as the repairman we had no longer lives nearby. I adjusted the focus and the horizontal hold, which has fixed the scrolling picture and made the picture a bit more clear. The two problems we are still having are a good amount of black lines vertical through the screen and a small, completely black area towards the lives. It's almost the shape of a goofy-looking triangle. I repair newer video game consoles and would love to be able to repair this Ms. Pac-Man machine, as she has had it since around the time I was born. Any help would be greatly appreciated. Thanks in advance. Well, Tim, if there's anything that we love, it's a great story. And what a great story here for Joe. For his family to have owned a Ms. Pac-Man cocktail machine, basically. I mean, he doesn't say cocktail, but we know it as a cocktail machine for 20-ish years. Almost as long as he's been alive.
Wow.
Basically, they've owned this machine, but they've had issues with it.
It's kind of like a family dog or something.
The family dog.
You know, one of those kind of just been around longer than the kids, and now it's getting old and needs some help.
That's right. Yeah. They haven't taken it to the vet in a couple years. And all of a sudden, you know, things are starting to break down apparently. But anyway, so we have this Ms. Pac-Man cocktail table, okay, 20-ish years old. Now, they had the repairman come out for scrolling picture, which, Tim, we all know is horizontal hold issue usually. Yes. Really easy to fix. The problem is not horizontal hold anymore. It's that we're having some black lines vertically through the screen and a small, completely black area towards the lives, okay?
Right.
So basically, we have some areas where we have kind of almost, I don't know, distortion or just black areas is the way he kind of describes it. But what do you think's going on here? What would cause these black vertical lines, and what would cause this goofy-looking triangle over
the lives? Well, after this many years, and that many plays, it definitely is time for a cap kit.
Well, yes, absolutely.
And so,
first place
especially with those dark areas like that, that is very indicative of a cap failure.
Sure.
So, he needs to watch our video on doing a cap kit. And if he's repaired or done any kind of soldering, it sounds like before, this should be no problem. Just make sure and discharge the monitor and get the power out before you do that.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great place to start here, Tim. I mean, there could be some other graphics issues related to the board, perhaps, but this really does sound almost more like a monitor issue. And Tim, you know, something we always kind of, I guess, glaze over, if nothing else, is it could just be a dirty monitor tube.
Yeah.
And the screen could just be totally dirty, and if he cleans it up, he might be able to get a lot of this gunk off.
Remember that time we were working on a game, and the lady says she just it keeps getting fuzzier and fuzzier and fuzzier, and we went over, we took the bezel off and we wiped the glass, had dust, it was like really bright. She came back over like 2 minutes later, she goes, wow, what did you do? We're like, we cleaned the dirt off of it. So, but the way he's described, now remember, if it's not a board issue, it'll be that way on every screen
too.
That's
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So even if you unplug your board and just turn up the brightness, you'll still see some lines in
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
So if you see that and you know that, well, that's probably what it is, probably needs a cap kit.
Yes. And Tim, I think at least if he installs the cap kit that'll give them a great place to kind of go from to continue to troubleshoot the issue. I mean, Tim, there could be other issues here. We could have a tube issue even, depending on what the problem is.
Not very likely.
Right, let's go ahead and start with that cap kit and see where that gets us. And if you need additional help past that point, Joe, please let us know. And Tim, what's greater than helping somebody like Joe here fix a game that's been in his family for 20 years and hasn't been working for 6 or 7? I mean, if we can do that for him, Tim, I feel very confident that we can do this for other people just like we always do. I love hearing stories about helping people with arcade games that have been sitting for a while, Tim, and getting them working again.
Right.
And this is a really great story for Joe. Hopefully, he can get his Ms. Pac-Man sit-down arcade cabinet back up and running. Tim, anything else you want to add, though?
No, good luck with that, and for sure, we want to hear some success story and about you keeping that in the family and everything, getting it fixed. So
absolutely.
Let us know.
Absolutely. Keep us updated on your progress. We would love to hear it. Okay, Tim, let's move to Anthony. And Anthony says, I have an original Time Pilot game and tried to install a 16-in-1 board in it. I purchased a JAMA adapter online and installed the board without any issues. The game turns on and plays sounds and video fine. However, none of the buttons on my control panel work as the fire button. I tried the original fire button on the game as well as the player 1 and player 2 buttons. Do I have to rewire the buttons? Any suggestions? Thanks in advance. So, Tim, this happens a lot when we use adapters that weren't necessarily made for the 16-in-1 board, where we're just using basically a Time Pilot to JAMA board adapter.
Right.
I think the problem here with Anthony is that basically it did not map his fire button from the adapter. And so he'll have to manually do that by running some wires from that position on the JAMA board to that fire button. And Tim, I mean, it's not hard to do. He just needs to make sure he looks at pinouts and then connects it up properly. And so I think if he does that, though, he should be in business. What do you think?
Right. He asked, does he have to rewire the buttons? More than likely, yes.
Yeah. Now, if the one and two player star buttons work right now, I mean, I wouldn't worry about messing with them as the fire button. Time Pilot has a dickhead fire button. Let's just wire that up and go from there. And Tim, the vast majority of games on a 16-in-1 will work with one button. Not all of them, but the vast majority will. I mean, it's something like, I think 50 or 48 of them or so will work with one button, okay? You can disable the rest of them in the menu, which is probably the best thing, or you could drill an extra hole for an additional button if you wanted to. Those are your options there. But Tim, he should be able to get everything working if he just wires up that fire button. Shouldn't be too much trouble on his end. Any other advice for Anthony, Tim, before we move on?
No, I think that that's some good advice. I think he really needs to look at those wiring. He needs his pinouts and stuff to look at and see where it's supposed to go originally, and then transfer that over to the JAMA side.
Right.
And even if he has to hardwire it.
And depending on your adapter, there may be a jumper or even a dip switch that switches where the fire button is linked to pinout-wise. And so there might be something like that you could switch as well. I don't know. I mean, I think I've seen that option on some of them. And so you might want to do some more research on your adapter as well to see if you can maybe switch something on there to map the fire button correctly. So hopefully that helps you out with your question here. Good luck getting that Time Pilot game working with that 16-in-1 board, Anthony. Sometimes it can be a little difficult, but we're sure that, you know, if you get in there, do some wiring, you should be able to get it working. Okay, Tim, let's move to Kevin. And Kevin just bought a Golden Tee Complete 2005. Tim, I don't know what it is about 2005. It's like a vintage year for Golden Tee.
I guess so.
It's kind of like a wine at this point, a Cabernet or whatever you would say. So 2005 was a good year for Golden Tee, apparently. But anyway, Kevin just bought a Golden Tee Complete 2005. When I plug it in, I get no signal on the monitor. The PCB board has 4 solid red lights. Stage 1 is solid green. Stage 2 is blinking green next to the 4 solid red lights. This is on the green board to the Golden Tee Complete. Now, Tim, unfortunately, I do not know Golden Tee Complete 2005 well enough to know what these LED lights mean. You may be able to check the instruction manual for the game and find out, okay? But, Tim, without knowing exactly what these lights mean, what do you think's going on with Kevin's Golden Tee 2005?
It sounds like he has a board issue.
Yeah, probably.
When you got red lights.
Right.
You know, and some green lights, but not all of them are green. That's usually... We're just using some common sense approach, you know, red light, stop, and green light, go, right?
Right.
So, but the fact that Incredible Technology is still open and in business, those guys are actually pretty helpful, too, even on an older board, and a lot of times they can help you. There's also that guy that is he in Florida or something? I'll probably look up a link here in a second. That's all he does is Golden Tee repair.
I mean, with as many Golden Tee machines that are out there, Tim, you'd think there'd be a lot of guys like that, because it is one of the more popular games that you see in people's games rooms, especially. And of course, it's the one game, Tim, you always see when you go to any bar, it seems like. But yeah, Tim, I mean, somebody who's a Golden Tee expert would definitely have a lot more knowledge on this. Now, Tim, anytime we talk about board issues, though, we always want to make sure the voltage is good on our power supply. That's very important. And so, Kevin, before suspecting that the board is bad, make sure that your power supply is adjusted properly and getting the proper voltage to your Golden Tee 2005 board. That's going to be very important in this particular instance. So make sure you do that. You should be in good shape. Now, Tim, do you recall the name of the guy that had the Golden Tee repair service?
I'll have to find it here in a minute. I'll know who exactly I'm thinking of, but contact Incredible Technologies themselves, though, and tell them what you're working on. They're actually really helpful, even with older stuff.
Sounds good. So, Kevin, hopefully answers your question. I think what we need to do is, like I mentioned, just try to check the power supply, make sure the voltage is correct. And if you continue to get these red lights on the board, maybe check out the instruction manual or even contact Incredible Technologies to see if they can help you out with your Golden Tee 2005
board. I said Florida, right?
Yes.
Gatorcade.
Gatorcade.
That's Gatorcade.com.
Okay, Gatorcade.com.
Contact that dude.
Okay.
This will be, in fact, before you even, this first contact, even before Incredible Technologies, Gatorcade, like the Florida Gators. So Gatorcade.com.
Sounds good. So Kevin, hopefully answers your question. Check your power supply, contact Gatorcade, and also might contact Incredible Technologies. Hopefully you can get your Golden Tee 2005 complete up and running. Okay, Tim, let's move to Glenn. And Glenn says, if my monitor chassis works fine, but the tube needs replacement, say from screen burn, how do I know which CRT monitor tube is compatible with my monitor chassis, board, etc.? If I can find or afford an exact model replacement, is there a way to get rid of the screen burn beyond replacing the tube? And does that anti-glare screen cover up screen burn as a temporary solution? Well, Tim, unfortunately, there's no real great way to tell if a tube is compatible with the chassis. There is a list on junknet.net that you guys can refer to, and we'll link to that in the show notes. You guys can check that out. But it is by no means an exhaustive list, Tim.
Right.
I mean, that's something you need to keep in mind.
Well, you said something earlier that we take that simple approach again. If the neck board fits.
Right.
Yeah. If the neck board don't fit, you got to quit.
Okay.
You better quit. All right, if the neck board don't fit, you must quit.
Okay.
You can stop right there.
Right.
Now, if it does fit, that's a good sign. And that will at least...
That means at least you can get the chassis connected.
Right.
Right. Now, you might have to do a yoke swap. I mean, you might have to do some other things, but at least you can get it connected. Now, Tim, of course, you know, I mean, yoke swap's not terribly hard, but it can be difficult to do the convergence and things on that. And that's something to keep in mind with a yoke swap. So, but overall, Tim, if you can get the neck board to fit, I think that's a lot of the battle
right
there. Yes,
a lot.
And so, yeah, if that's what you're looking for.
If it doesn't have the same amount of pins and stuff, you can quit right now. Yeah, it's not going
to
work.
Right, exactly. Now, Tim, he says, is there a way to get rid of screen burn beyond replacing the tube?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, it's phosphorus that's on there. And
right.
It would be more expensive than it would be to have a custom tube made or something. You know, it'd be really expensive. So
right.
I would say no, not that I'm aware of, unless somebody, you know, there's always that. That one guy that all of a sudden is now blowing phosphorus on everybody's tubes and doing it for $20 a tube. I haven't met him yet.
Okay.
Have not met that guy yet.
We need to find
that
guy.
You want to be that guy?
That's right. If you want to be that guy,
contact us soon.
That's right. There you go.
We'll give you some work.
There you go. Now, does that anti-glare screen cover up the screen burn as a temporary solution?
Yes.
Yeah, the dark plexi, I think, is what he's referring to.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we do on a lot of screens, Tim, is we use dark plexiglass to cover up the screen burn just as a temporary solution. And Tim, to be honest with you, it actually does work really well.
Yeah, in certain games it works very well, especially turning up the
brightness
and then putting that on there, cleaning your tube, those type of things do help.
Okay, sounds good. So Tim, I think we've answered all of Glenn's questions here. Anything else you want to add to that before we move on?
No, Glenn, but let us know what you ended up doing, or if you were able to find a tube, what you found.
Yeah, and we'll also link to the junknet.net post, Tim, so you can check it out.
It's pretty exhaustive. I mean, it's pretty good.
It's got a lot of common ones. I mean, if that's what you're looking for. But, I mean, I wouldn't say it's the end-all, be-all list. I mean, that's something you need to keep in mind. It has some you can definitely search for, though, that will help you find a compatible tube. So it's definitely worth a look. So I'll link to that. Check that list out. Hopefully, you can find a compatible tube for your arcade cabinet.
The neck don't fit, just quit.
Okay. The neck don't fit, just quit. There you go. So, okay, Tim, moving on. We have Adam here. He says, yes, I just bought an original upright police trainer arcade game, and I noticed inside where the guns are connected to the board, there's one green flashing light and one red flashing light. One gun works, and the other one just shoots but has no aiming. It just makes noise. Does the gun just need to be replaced?
More than likely, but a lot of times you can... What I found is you open it up, there's a very small circuit board in there.
Absolutely.
So check all your... Reflow your solder on there. A lot of times the... A leg will break on the little LED kind of...
Yeah, little optical sensor.
Optical sensor. It looks like an LED.
It does look like an LED, right.
But it's an optical sensor, you're right. Sometimes that's all it is. And a lot of times, instead of replace the whole gun, you can just replace that circuit board. Well, you got a working gun, switch them and see if that's if the problem moves and you know what that is. Hab Controls will probably still sell that.
Yes, they do.
And so instead of replacing the whole gun, which can get quite expensive... You might just have a $20 part that needs replaced, and that's where I would do.
Absolutely, Tim. And, of course, we have a great video on troubleshooting light gun issues that you need to check out, Adam, if you haven't already. But, yeah, you can just replace the circuit board in there, Tim, right? And then you don't have to worry about necessarily replacing the whole gun, which can get expensive. So.
Yes.
But, yeah, I don't know if the lights have anything to do with it on a police trainer board, Tim. Do you have any idea if the lights have anything to do with the fact that the guns aren't working?
I would assume that they do, with the way he's reading it. Swap your guns, too, and see if the problem follows the gun.
Right, and see if the light also,
Or it could be a board issue.
Right.
And there are some chips. There's a chip, I believe, right under there that could be the issue.
Right. And, Tim, another thing is maybe it just needs to be calibrated.
Maybe
so make sure you go into your test mode. You can recalibrate the guns, and sometimes that makes a lot of difference, too.
We go through all that, those steps, in a lot more detail in that video, Adam, so please be sure and watch that.
Sounds good. So, Adam, hopefully I answered your question, and good luck getting the second gun on your police trainer working properly. And, Tim, we have our last question for this episode, and it is from Luke. And Luke says, do you know if I can put two connectors on one terminal on a power supply?
I think my limit has been 15.
Okay. 15, that's a lot.
So you definitely do two.
You definitely do two, okay.
Just to answer that. I've seen some games, I think, where they tried.
Now, how long was the screw for that terminal? I'm just wondering.
Well, you know, a little duct tape, some glue. It was complicated.
Duct tape solves everything. Right. There you go.
But can you do two? For sure.
For sure, you can do two. Right.
Especially you can double up on your grounds or your 5 volts or whatever. You know, we can also tap into that AC right there and run a light or something like that. So I really don't like to get more than two because it does kind of get bulky.
Yes.
Unless you have room, I even like to run one from each side rather than on top of each other.
Absolutely.
If you have that kind of room, I would recommend that. I like this question because it's a real simple question, but I do have some experience in saying yes, and you start getting more than two, it really can get tough.
Right.
What another alternative would be, John, is just to go ahead and strip both wires, wire them together, and put one terminal on.
Absolutely.
That just pretties it up a little bit.
Right.
And makes it a little easier to connect. So if you're going to hook two, unless you plan on doing something different in the future, sometimes it's better just to strip the two wires, connect them, put one terminal on the end. Makes a lot neater job.
Okay, quick question. Your preference, fork terminals or loop terminals?
Fork.
Okay, you like the fork. So the loop terminals you're not a big fan of. They stay on better,
yes,
obviously.
Yes, they definitely stay on, but most of the time when I go to replace a power supply, I'm in a hurry. And I don't like, I prefer the forks.
Okay. And what I mean by loop is basically it's a circle, but you actually have to take the screw all the way out and then put it through the loop.
Yeah. Now, there are some advantages in doing that if you don't ever want it to come out or you have a problem with it falling out. So if we had a game that one would just fall out randomly, probably because we're trying to run 15 on one. But even my own advice now, I'm looking back on some stupid things I did. I should have just made the... I could have put four wires together, put them on one terminal, and done the same purpose.
Absolutely.
So that's just talking from experience here, Luke. That's what I would do.
Sounds good. Tim, I hope that answers Luke's question. I think we gave him a lot of information on terminals, maybe more than what he wanted to know. Apparently 15 is the limit as far as we know. So yes. There you go. So Luke, yes, you can put two connectors on one terminal. Probably best to keep it at that.
I would say three max.
Three max.
Even more than two is pushing it to me. Two, you can kind of get in there pretty easily.
Right.
But other than that, I would just start wiring my wires together. I mean, connecting my wires together and putting less terminals.
Sounds good. So Luke, hopefully answers your question, and good luck with your future arcade projects. Well, Tim, now we come to the discussion section of the podcast, and the first topic we have here is one of the biggest topics that we've had on Arcade Repair Tips in a while. We got quite a bit of traction from this discussion question, and it's basically, what would you call it? An inquisition, if you will, of whether or not Coloquio should bring back the mini arcade little cabinets that they used to sell in the 80s. And so, the title of this discussion question is Holders of Coloquio Brand Name Ask for Public Opinion on Mini Arcade Revival. And Tim, this is from The Examiner. And we'll have the link in the show notes so you guys can check it out. But basically, the gist of it is that the owners of the Coloquio brand name are considering a revival of the mini arcade units that were highly successful for the original Coloquio in the early 1980s. On Friday, March 11th, they took to social media to ask the public what they would like to see in such a revival. And so, Tim, we had so many replies on this question. I'm just going to pick out a couple here. Tim, if you see a couple that are interesting, I'll let you read those off. Because, Tim, there's like 20 or 30 replies here. I mean, it's quite a few. And so let's go ahead and start with one of our social media coordinators here, Louis. And he says, that would be a heck yeah, but I have them already. So he already has a set of them, but he'd love to see them again. Tim, you want to pick one out for us and maybe read one there from some of the other people that gave us some input on this question here? If you got a cool one.
This would be Jeff.
Okay, Jeff. Okay.
And I'm going to go a little bit of correction on you, Jonathan, just from the 80s and I grew up there. It's Coleco.
Oh, Coleco. Coleco. Okay.
And so don't want to offend anybody out there, but I do happen to know that one.
Yes, it is Coleco. I said it wrong. Yes.
Coleco holders should settle down the whole mess with the Coleco Chameleon.
Yes, and I think that's been a point of contention here, Tim, is that Coleco had so much trouble with the Coleco Chameleon, basically, which was the retro VGS. There's a big kind of
So they're like, I'm not really trusting these guys to make...
Well, the fact that they pulled out of the Chameleon, I think, says a lot for what they think of their brand.
Right.
I mean, they obviously had... Whoever owns the Coleco brand now, they obviously have some... you know, issues here, and they definitely want to keep it out of controversial hands. And so that's why I'm glad the Chameleon, they decided not to go that route. Right. You know, they saw the bad publicity it was getting, decided to pull out. To me, that was a smart move on their part. And so the fact that they want to go this route, though, I think may be a better route for them altogether. I mean, you know, instead of going with the classic concept.
I want to read a couple more, John, that I would definitely, I agreed with. So I didn't even put them because somebody had already said it. Damien says they should... but more look like actual replicas of actual cabinets. You remember, they didn't really look like a cabinet.
No, they
had the
not.
Cabinet shape.
Right.
So I think if you did that, I think it'd be kind of cool to go back to each cabinet had a different shape.
Right.
I think that would be cool.
Absolutely.
And then some people said, I still have Q-Bert, Ms. Pac-Man, and possibly Kong.
Right.
I think that there were a lot of games, though, that weren't. You know, there were the most popular ones. A re-release with them would be good, but what would be even cooler is some that were never released.
Absolutely.
Like Burger Time or something, you know, that never got released as a cool-looking cabinet. So that's what I would say is those are still out there and available. I would like to see some released that weren't never released.
Right,
I think that would have more of appeal.
Yeah.
Then I could add to my little mini arcade collection.
That's right. Let me also read off one here. Scott says, bring them back, but use new LCD screens and realistic gameplay like the stand-ups. I'm all in then. So people want it to play like the actual arcade game instead of playing kind of a knockoff version like the original Coleco arcade cabinets used to.
So. As you know, I have several of these.
Oh, yes.
But they're all for looks.
Right.
I agree with what he's saying. Yeah, the gameplay is not that great.
Right. And so, yeah, I think bring them back with realistic gameplay.
Yeah, realistic gameplay I think would be awesome.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Tim, you want to read another one here from one of our Facebook people? There's a lot of people, you know, it says, yes, yes, take my money, stuff like that. Tim, I think that's a pretty big one.
Like Brad says, do you even have to ask?
Yeah, and that's a good point. You know, I think, though, Tim, they're just trying to gauge interest from the public, the Coleco holdings people. They just want to get that interest out there. And so, you know, and of course, like I said, yes, yeah, those would be cool. Tim, we got a lot that just said yes.
One guy says, what about a multi-game?
Yeah,
you know, maybe. Kind of a 60-in-1 mini version there.
But would that take away from having the individual cabinets?
I think the individual cabinets that look more like realistic arcade cabinets would be in realistic gameplay. I think if they did that, then I'll probably, you know, be losing some or shelling out some money myself.
Absolutely, Tim. It's really an interesting thing though, because I think a lot of people have a lot of memories associated with the Coleco versions, just maybe as many as they have associated with the Philips stand up arcade versions, maybe more.
Maybe so, yeah. Because my friend would bring his over, I bring mine over, and we had our own arcade.
Yeah, basically, I mean, it's the closest thing you're going to get to an arcade,
right?
Anyway,
I can remember even playing like that. Like we set up our room, you had like the three or four of them that we had, and we had our, you know, we made like a kind of like the Kane's arcade back in the day, you know, with a little change machine or something. They were definitely fun for the time, but if you're going to bring them back today, you're going to have to, it's going to have to be more realistic gameplay.
Absolutely. I think that's going to have to, I really do think that that's the crux of it. Now, Tim, there was a project, I think it was somebody did a project independently, and it had the original version and the stand-up arcade version on it. So it had the original Coleco version of Donkey Kong and
that.
The stand-up version of Donkey Kong. So you could play both. You could play either one you wanted. And so, you know, maybe something like that to where we could have a Switch in there for
that
either
would
one
be sweet.
Would be really cool. And
really
so,
sweet.
I do think it's a great idea that they brought these back, Tim. I think there's a lot of people here that are interested in arcade games. Tim, just the other day we saw an article that said middle-aged men very interested in arcade games and pinball machines. And it talked about how people our age, Tim, have been constantly talking about arcade games and pinball machines on social media pages, whether that's Twitter, Facebook, whatever it is. So it's obvious that we're in an age right now, Tim, where people who are in their early 30s to kind of late 40s are in this kind of this area where we all remember arcades and we want to own some arcade stuff, whatever that is. And so now might be the best time for them to release them. If they wait, they might miss that window of opportunity with our market. And so I think for them, it's a great opportunity. Tim, anything else you want to say about Coleco bringing back the mini arcades?
No, I just we'll have to update and hear about that more in the future. It is interesting the fact that there is that nostalgia still that's even being considered says a lot about the popularity of games back in the day.
Absolutely. Well, Tim, we'll keep you posted on any updates that we hear, but great information, and hopefully Coleco will decide to go that route with it. Okay, Tim, our second discussion question is kind of just something I didn't really expect to really talk about. It was something, Tim, I didn't really think I was going to come across arcade games when I read these articles. I'm going to be real honest with you. I love reading about abandoned places.
Okay,
I don't know what it is. If it's abandoned malls, abandoned theme parks.
Every time I drive through an old town, I see an old abandoned building, I wonder if there's an arcade game in
there. Well, sure. Well, and that's part of it. And so I was just reading my articles on abandoned places, and this article came up, and I thought I'll post it on the Facebook page because it's interesting. The article title is Northland Mall Tunnels Reveal Their Secrets, and it's from the Detroit Free Press, and I'll link to the article, Tim, of course, in the show notes so you guys can read it. And basically, the gist of it is that there's a now-deserted mall in Detroit, and its labyrinth of tunnels has several abandoned arcade machines that were left in some of the storage rooms.
Wow.
Okay, just left, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's photographs where these people were allowed to go down there and take pictures of them.
Wow.
And it's just very interesting to see. Tim, most of them have been gutted.
Okay.
Most of them have been gutted, so they're basically just cabinets at this point.
It's kind of like that arcade find we found in that old warehouse where this guy was had a Ms. Pac-Man turned upside down, had sawed it in half, and was using it as a rocker.
That's right.
True story.
That's right. But yeah, I mean, this is an abandoned warehouse basically full of games. And so, well, it's not full of games, I should say. It's got some games in it. And so, basically, we had a couple of people reply. Jared said, so cool, I wish I could grab them. Robert said, oh no, hopefully not another Sundance arcade game drama. Chez Arcade says, whoa, too cool. And Casey says, super cool. Tim, like I said, the photos basically show that these cabinets have been pretty well gutted basket of all of their electronic components, but it's still cool to see empty arcade games in this labyrinth of tunnels.
Like a ghost town, like, it was really cool looking, yeah.
And they've actually filmed some movies in this particular complex, this mall, but it sounds like it's about to be torn down, Tim, and we don't know exactly when that's going to happen, but... hopefully the arcade games get auctioned off or sold or something before all of that happens. Because, I mean, even though they're just cabinets, there's a lot of people out there who may have waterlogged cabinets that would love the opportunity to have an empty cabinet for their game.
Well, do you remember for years, John, I drove by an abandoned Dairy Queen.
Yes.
That had Ms. Pac-Man sitting in the middle, right where it probably was.
Right.
And all the equipment had been taken out, but this one game, it was sitting there. And
we drive by it all the time.
I tried my best. I contacted the owner to the real estate company.
There was a gas station next door. You went there, talked to the guy.
I talked to everybody trying to get that game. And then one day I looked and there was a pile of rubble there.
Yeah.
Where they had torn that building down. And I thought to myself, and right where in that area was still a little kind of a bigger pile of rubble.
Right.
And I thought to myself, is it possible that game was still in? You might remember me and Pops went out there and we rescued that game. We had taken literally cinder blocks and wood and it still survived. I don't remember what in the world happened to it, but I think
it was waterlogged and we ended up parting it out.
We ended up parting it out, I think, because it had so much damage because I think it got rained on.
Yeah. Because the roof was caving in.
Yeah, the roof was caving in.
I mean, there was definitely water coming into that building.
Yeah, so anyway, it's one of those stories, you know, maybe you guys, I'm saying that because I know sometimes people like to hear those type of stories. Maybe you've got some stories where you went into a creepy place
or an abandoned place.
So if you've got that, why don't you share that story with us on Facebook? I've never met an arcade collector that didn't like to share some stories.
That's right.
And if you don't have any stories, then you haven't really become a collector yet, right?
That's
right. You really need to get out there and get some stories. So we can write a book one day.
There you go. Sounds good. Well, Tim, that does it for the discussion portion of the podcast. So let's go ahead and move on to the show announcements. And the first one we have, Tim, is PinFest 2016. And this is going to be May 6th and 7th at the Allentown Fairgrounds in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Admission cost per day, $17 for adults. Kids 12 and under are $7, and kids 5 and under are free. Over 40,000 square feet of space filled with as many pinball machines as we can get, all on free play. Usually between 200 and 300 machines are there. For more information, please visit their website at pinfestival.com. The next one we have, Tim, is the Pin-A-Go-Go Pinball Show in Swap Meet 2016. And that's going to be May 13th through the 15th at the Dixon Fairgrounds in Dixon, California. A weekend pass is $45 for adults, $20 for kids. A one-day pass on Saturday is $25 for adults, $12 for kids. And a one-day pass on Friday and Sunday is $20 for adults and $10 for kids. There'll be over 100 pinball machines on free play, auctions, classes, and just 3 days of great fun. For more information and pre-registration, please visit their website at pinagogo.org. Tim, we also have the Northwest Pinball and Arcade Show 2016, and that's going to be June 3rd through the 5th at the Tacoma Convention Center in Tacoma, Washington. A weekend pass for adults is $65, $30 for kids, a one-day pass on Friday, $25 for adults, $15 for kids, one-day pass on Saturday, $30 for adults, $15 for kids, and a one-day pass on Sunday, $20 for adults and $10 for kids. A family-friendly event that will feature 400 pinball and arcade games all set on free play. For more information and pre-registration, please visit their website at nwpinballshow.com. Tim, this is the one our friend Dan likes to attend every year and has actually sent us some shirts back from in the past. We want to thank Dan for that, but it's a great show. If you guys are located in that Washington area, Tim, I don't know if there's much else out there as far as shows are concerned. And so you guys make sure you check that out, the Northwest Pinball and Arcade Show 2016. And then, Tim, we have the Southern Fried Game Room Expo 2016. This is the expo, Tim, that was started by our friends at the Game Room Junkies, Preston and Patrick, among others. And it's going to be June 10th through the 12th at the Renaissance Atlanta Waverly Hotel in Atlanta, Georgia. Tim, new location for them, so you guys make sure you take note of that. A weekend pass is $60 for adults, $30 for kids in advance. A one-day pass Friday, Saturday is $30 for adults, $15 for kids. And a one-day pass on Sunday is $20 for adults and $15 for kids. Their goal is to share the nostalgia and skill of the game with longtime arcade and pinball enthusiasts and spread the joy of discovery with new fans of all ages. For more information and pre-registration, visit their website at southernfriedgameroomexpo.com. And Tim, do you know what you will find if you go to that website and you click on the speakers link?
Billy Mitchell's going to be there?
No, not Billy.
Walter Day?
No, nope, not Walter Day. I think that Charlie Emery from Spooky Pinball will be there, and Jersey Jack will be there.
Jersey Jack.
But I can swear that there are two people that are going to be there, and they're on that speakers list. Do you know who they are?
One of them is you.
Yes, and I believe the other one is you.
There we go.
And so there you go. We will be at the Southern Fried Game Room Expo 2016. Love for you guys to come out and come talk to us. Tim, we've been working out the details, but it looks like we're going to be doing one podcasting session with some of the guys there, and we'll also be doing a seminar.
Okay.
I don't know what we're going to talk about.
Me either.
But it'll be something
exciting. I'm probably not bringing a game.
I don't think I'm bringing a game either, unless you can grab that game and put it on the airplane. So I think that would be very difficult. I don't know. You think we could get it done?
Depends on if Coleco gets it produced out.
There you go. So, guys, it's going to be a great time at the Southern Fried Game Room Expo. Tim, our friends from Broken Token will be there. Whitney and Brent, of course, Game Room Junkies will be there. Jack Guarneri is going to be there.
Right.
I always love hearing Jack speak. He's always energetic and exciting. There's a whole slew of guests. You guys go to the website, find them all. But we are so excited to see you guys there. We'd love for you guys to come to our seminar. Tim, in all seriousness, we will be basically doing some questions that we get. And Tim, we've picked some of the stranger questions for this presentation.
Right.
And the reason why is because we want to keep it entertaining and fun.
Okay.
And so for 30 minutes or so, we'll do the strange questions. And then for the rest of our time, we'll probably take questions from the audience. Because, you know, obviously, Tim, we are the question and answer podcast. So we want to make sure we get the questions in there from the audience. And so, guys, it's going to be a great time. Make sure you come see us at the Southern Fried Game Room Expo. And that's going to be June 10th through the 12th. SouthernFriedGameRoomExpo.com for more information. Well, Tim, I think that does it for the show announcements, so let's go ahead and move on to our contact information. And first, Tim, we have our email address, and that's at questions@arcaderepairtips.com. questions@arcaderepairtips.com. Tim, that's the best way to get a hold of us. If you guys have any issues with your arcade games, love to send your question to us. We'd be happy to help you out as best we can. That's at questions@arcaderepairtips.com. Tim, we do have the voicemail line, but as we've talked about before, not real good about getting back to those. And hopefully at some point we will have that voicemail podcast. I don't know when. Hopefully it'll be sometime soon. But the number is 972-8 AR-TIPS is an arcade repair tips. Or 972-827-8477. Great stuff there, Tim. I really wish we'd get better about voicemails. But for now, you can leave them. And hopefully we'll get around to that voicemail podcast sometime in the future. And then, Tim, we have our multimedia pages. We have our iTunes page where they can leave reviews, they as in you, the audience, and that's at itunes.arcaderepairtips.com. But, Tim, unfortunately, no new reviews since our last podcast, and that's since, I guess, two podcasts back, technically, because we had the special episode for the Texas Pinball Festival, so it's been a while.
Well, maybe if it didn't take 15 minutes, John, they would do it, right?
If it was only 5 minutes.
if it was only 5 minutes. Or only a minute.
Right.
Wait, it is.
That's right. It doesn't take that long, people. And I understand a lot of our users are not Apple users. They don't have iPhones or iPads or whatever the case may be. And that's okay, because we have our Stitcher radio page too, Tim, where they can leave reviews. And that's at stitcher.arcaderepairtips.com. And so if you don't... Exactly, doesn't take long. And if you don't have iTunes, it's a great way to leave us a review. But Tim, unfortunately, no new reviews either.
I'm seeing a second parody...
Video in the
future.
Okay.
Stop what you're doing.
Stop what you're doing.
It doesn't take 1 minute.
That's true.
It's just a review. Do you know how happy it makes me when you give me a good review?
There you go. So there might be a second video on the horizon pleading with people to leave reviews.
Maybe.
Okay, there you go. So guys, again, leave us some reviews. iTunes.arcaderepairtips.com and Stitcher.arcaderepairtips.com.
You know why reviews help though, John?
Why?
And just to tell people, because how many of you have went to somewhere and before you checked out what the person said, you read their reviews.
That's right.
Right.
Or a restaurant, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. How many times have you checked
the
reviews?
Before you ate there, you read the reviews. So they really do help, guys. And if nothing else, they do help us.
Right.
They do encourage us to do more videos and to keep doing what we're doing. So it only takes a minute. I am asking.
There you go. So officially, right? Stop what you're doing.
Stop what you're doing.
There you go.
So, it really does help.
Can I say that? It took us a while to get that down in that video. I mean, I really wanted Tim to, he kept wanting to say stop what you're doing after whatever it was right now. You wanted to keep
right now,
right
stop.
Now, or something right, like that. Right now, stop what you're doing. Or right now, there are arcade games that need you. It took us a while to get the stop what you're doing. I thought it turned out really well once we did.
That one video was so short would probably have an hour's worth of outtakes, but. Fortunately, that's not going to be released and not something you would want to see anyway.
There you go. So maybe we'll put them on if we make another DVD, or maybe we'll put them up for sale on YouTube so you guys can see the bloopers from it. But some of them are really good. So anyway, guys, Stitcher.ArcadeRepairTips.com, iTunes.ArcadeRepairTips.com, both places where you can leave us reviews. And then, Tim, we have our YouTube page. That's at YouTube.ArcadeRepairTips.com, where you can see Tim's great parody video from his campaign. That's right. Tim Peterson for president, guys. You guys make sure that you you vote for him in the upcoming election. I mean, Tim, our campaign slogan should be, what other choice do you have?
There you go. So. Obviously, I'm an independent candidate. I do not have any party affiliation. If you like arcade games, you should vote for me.
That's right. That's the only platform that you have,
That's it.
And Tim Peterson.
I want to make arcades great again.
That's right.
Everything else can go to heck.
What other choice do you have?
Right. I'm as good as anybody else.
That's right. So there are so many worse candidates out there. Tim has to be the best. That's the way I see it. So
you can't do any worse.
That's right. Can't do any worse. So there you go, guys.
Maybe.
Not of the choices that are out there right now. I don't think so. So anyway. Guys, Tim Peterson from President, we did the campaign spot. It's up on the YouTube page at youtube.arcaderepairtips.com. You guys can see it. And Tim, it's funny, and you know, it's just something. It's actually an idea that one of our Facebook community members came up with, and so we thought it was funny. We did it real quick, and so hopefully you guys enjoy that video. Great stuff, and check it out on our YouTube page at youtube.arcaderepairtips.com. And then, Tim, we have our Twitter and Facebook pages. And our Twitter page is at twitter.arcaderepairtips.com. Tim, we do have quite a bit of followers there, and we do have a lot of people giving us feedback. This week, somebody mentioned that he was enrolled in Arcade Repair Tips University.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, we're a university now.
I did not realize.
Yeah, I don't know if we're accredited. Do we have to be accredited? Is that how that works? Or?
I don't know what kind of degree you would get in that university.
Well, it probably starts with the letters BS.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, it's not a BA.
That's
right. BS degree.
That's right. So you can get a BS in arcade repair by going to arcaderepairtips.com. There you go. But anyway, guys, Twitter is really fun. We love interacting with you guys on Twitter. So make sure you follow us there at twitter.arcaderepairtips.com. Great stuff, Tim. And of course, anything on our Facebook page gets cross-posted to the Twitter page, Tim, so you don't have to be a Facebook follower to get all the great information that we post on the Facebook page. You can be a Twitter follower, works just as well. Great information in both spots. Again, twitter.arcaderepairtips.com. And then, Tim, we have our Facebook page. That's at facebook.arcaderepairtips.com. We want to thank Mark and Louie for all of the hard work that they put into that page. And Tim, of course, you and me post things from time to time, too. But Mark and Louie really do, I would say, the majority of it for the most part.
They really post the good stuff. I'm usually the really dumb stuff.
Oh, okay. That's right. So, but they do a really great job of interacting with you guys. And, I mean, they also answer questions. So if for some reason you email us and we don't get back to you as fast as you would like, Mark and Louie are on standby on the Facebook page to help you out with your arcade issues as well. We want to thank both of them for the hard work that they put into that. Tim, we couldn't do this without them. I mean, that's what it really comes down to, because the response and the questions and the amount of stuff that we get is just so numerous that without their help, Tim, it'd be so hard for us to continue to do anything or to continue to operate the way that we do. And so we want to thank them, of course, for taking up a little bit of the slack. It really does help us out a lot. But again, they post some great stuff. Facebook.arcaderepairtips.com is a great place, Tim, for you to get some great information on arcades in general. So guys, make sure that you check it out. Well, Tim, we have officially come to the end of the show, but there is an unofficial part of the show that comes up here in a minute, right?
We've heard that.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. And we actually have a question for the after show.
Okay.
But we're not going to tell you what it is. You have to listen to the after show.
Well, can I leave them with a deep thought I had this week?
Absolutely. Is it arcade related?
Well, kind of.
Okay.
I was cleaning a vacuum cleaner.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right.
Okay, so
it's a real deep thought. You got to think about it.
Okay. Right? Okay. Well, I was going to say, cleaning a vacuum cleaner automatically makes things suck. So, I'm sorry.
Actually, I thought for a second, I'm cleaning a vacuum cleaner. Does that make me a vacuum cleaner?
Oh, I see. I see. So if you're a parent arcade game, does that make you... No.
So if you're cleaning a vacuum cleaner, you actually are a vacuum cleaner.
That's true.
That's I'm going true. To... I'll leave some of those other deep thoughts in my campaign. Just want you to know what you're dealing with. You got to be smart, wake up, and catch stuff like that. But the average person just doesn't think this way.
Which is why you should elect this man as your next president of the United States. Ladies and gentlemen... It's been a wonderful night, and I think we're both tired, and we're ready to, and it's late, and we're ready to go, but we want to thank everybody for listening tonight. It's always fun to interact with you guys. We've had a lot of fun tonight, as always, so.
Thank you guys for listening, and just keep on doing what you're doing, fixing those games.
Don't get too frustrated.
Yeah.
It's just a game. You'll get it working
it's
eventually.
Not a pain in the butt, just a scratch.
That's right. Not a pain in the butt, just
more
a
like
scratch.
A pimple.
Pimple, there you go. Okay, guys. So anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. We hope you have a great night and a great rest of your day and a great month, Tim, of April. We'll be back in May to do another podcast. And then in June, Tim, we'll have a special podcast, I'm sure, from the Southern Fried Game Room Expo. But Tim, great stuff coming up. We hope you stay tuned for all of that. Guys, we are out. But remember, here at Arcade Repair Tips, when you fix the game,
you play the game.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Arcade Repair Tips Question and Answer Podcast. All of our episodes are available for download at ArcadeRepairTips.com or at the iTunes Music Store under Podcasts. This podcast is intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. Please consult a professional before attempting to repair any coin-operated machines yourself. The preceding program is a Varcade Entertainment production.
Well, Tim, here we are. This is the episode 58 after show. The unofficial after show.
Right.
Because there's not an official after show.
No.
So we had a lot of fun on the podcast tonight.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was good, so, you know, we laughed, we cried, we hyped Tim's presidential campaign. So all of that said, we did have a question from somebody that we wanted to address on the after show. Typically, Tim, we talk about media, we talk about movies, and we'll get around to some
sports.
Of that stuff here.
Sports. Politics.
That's right. We'll get around to some of that stuff here in a bit. But the question we received was from Retro Amigo, Tim, and he says, I find myself watching The Twilight Zone on Netflix. It rocks. Anyone watch Daredevil yet? So Tim, first off, I want to say Twilight Zone, great show. If you've never watched it before, apparently it's on Netflix. I did not realize this. But if you're not if you've never watched The Twilight Zone before, it actually is a really good show. And Tim, it ranges from like horror to just strange and then to just creepy.
Right.
You know, it's kind of got this nice.
I didn't realize it was all on Netflix. I might go
back
and
it's got this nice, what would you call it, dynamic between the three. It's like suspense. You don't know what you're getting into with each episode. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it so
interesting. Some of them are scary, some are just, you know, a mystery kind of.
Right.
Sci-fi.
Right. And so it really is good stuff. So, highly recommend watching The Twilight Zone if you guys have never watched it before. And if all the episodes are on Netflix, really, really great way to watch some great content. So, now he says, does anybody watch Daredevil yet? And Tim, I have watched Daredevil. I've watched the first season and the first two episodes of the second season. For some reason, I know it had the cool Punisher storyline at the beginning of the second season, but for some reason, I just haven't gotten back around to it. I don't know if it's just because I've been too busy or what the case may be.
You know, I dove into Arrow.
Right.
I think you got me watching that.
Arrow's great.
Watch it all. I mean, yeah. Just die. I'm waiting for season 3 to come out. And here it's been out, and I haven't even had time to watch. I've just got to watch other things.
Right.
And I know them two collide some, so I want to. I thought, well, I'll finish Arrow, then I'll start Daredevil.
Right.
So that's kind of my goal.
Well, they're okay. Now, Arrow and Daredevil don't. Arrow and Flash do.
Flash. Okay, that's right. Yes. You're right. Thanks for that
DC
correction.
Versus Marvel.
Right.
Don't want to mix them up. So Arrow is great, but here's the thing. Season 3. Not so good.
That's kind of what a lot of the stuff I'd heard was that...
Season 4, better.
Okay.
Okay, so like right now I'm in season 4.
Well, I still need to watch it.
Right. It's kind of like... you should watch it. It's still good. Still good. It's just not as good,
as
what we've seen before. Would I take it over about half of what's on television right now? Absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, but it's not as good as seasons 1 and 2. Season 2 of Arrow... is like one of my favorite seasons of almost anything.
So if you haven't been watching Daredevil, what have you been watching? What has got your attention?
Well, that's a great question. Well, let me first say that Daredevil is great. I just haven't gotten around to watching the rest of season 2, which I will. I will eventually. The funny thing with most people is that most people like Daredevil better than Jessica Jones, which is another one that they did on Netflix, another comic book show they did. I like Jessica Jones actually better than Daredevil. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's just because I like that gritty... film noir PI angle that Jessica Jones has. That's like, I love that. I just love that gritty PI kind of stuff.
I've heard people say that they liked it a lot too. So.
But most people like Daredevil better. I was more of a Jessica Jones fan. I like Daredevil, but I felt like Jessica Jones was better. So what I have been watching, I felt like I've cut back. I haven't been watching a whole lot. I've watched Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is what I continue to watch. Actually, I feel like this season's pretty decent. I mean, they've got a good storyline going, and so I've continued to watch that. Let's see, what else have I been watching? I've got a lot of stuff on my DVR. Mm. You know, it's just getting around to it. What about you, Tim? I'll think of some more as I go.
Once baseball season starts for you, I know that's
part of it. Yeah, so I've been watching a lot of Major League Baseball. The thing, though. Next 2 days, today we had a rain out, tomorrow's an off day. So I don't have any baseball.
Well, I went into this binge watching where I just go and watch everything. And then I was so disappointed when they only had like one season or something. So I decided I'm going to watch something with a lot of seasons. So I've been watching Supernatural.
Now, I think you told us this last time. How far have you gotten?
I'm into season 4 now.
Oh, season 4.
And there is 10 seasons. And there's like 24 episodes on season 4.
Right.
So I'm talking about I'm going to be watching it for the rest of the year. But I'm excited that the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt second season has come out.
We are too.
And if you've seen that is a funny show. It's a Tina Fey produced show. If you like her comedy and stuff, I do. It's something I can watch with my wife, and she can kind of get into. But it's not too much for my 13-year-old son to watch. So it's a good balance for us. Me and him really like flock toward the superhero stuff. Walking Dead or something, you know, and she's more, you know, wants to watch the comedy and stuff. So it's a good mix for us.
Now, something, Tim, I know you have Sling TV.
Yes.
Do you realize that Sling TV just added a different plan?
No, I did not realize.
It takes away ESPN and the Disney channels.
Okay.
And adds Fox and Fox Sports. Well. Which means that on the second tier, you could watch our local baseball team, which is the Texas Rangers. Which you can't do on the first tier that you're on now.
Right.
You could also watch all of the Fox stuff, which is FX, FX Now. Oh, something I have been watching on FX, The Americans, which I talked about last time. Very gritty, very dark, very great show. Don't watch it with your kids. It's very dark, but it's a great show. And that's part of that second tier of Sling TV. For those who don't know what Sling TV is, it is internet cable. Basically, for $20 a month, you get access to most of the popular cable stations.
Yes, I get TBS, I get AMC.
Right.
I get the History Channel. I got WTVS. I said that, didn't I?
Yeah.
HGTV
is part of it.
Travel Channel.
Right.
Those are some stuff I watch a lot of, though.
Right. So all of those stations are included on both tiers. Mm. But what they did was, on the first tier, you have the Disney stations and ESPN.
Yes.
On the second tier, you have the Fox stations and the Fox Sports stations.
I may switch because the only... You know, I thought I would watch ESPN. I like watching SportsCenter.
Right.
But outside of that, they...
Well, you see, here's the thing. Fox Sports 1 has Fox Sports Live, which is SportsCenter.
They don't have all the local sports like I want to watch. Like, they have an NBA game at night, but it's usually somebody I don't... It's the Bullets versus, you know, somebody I don't care about.
And they got Sunday Night Baseball, which I always... That's who I usually watch. But, I mean, my team's hardly ever on Sunday Night Baseball.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's the Yankees, it's Boston, it's those teams.
That's something I'm going to check into.
Hey, you can move tiers, though. And, like I said, another thing is giving you access to Fox gives you access to every Simpsons ever on FXX, so I'm a big Simpsons fan, you know, and that'd be a big thing. And then, of course, it gives you access to all those great Fox shows, The Americans, and all the rest of the Fox stuff. You lose the Disney stuff,
though. If you don't have Sling TV, it depends on the channel, but like, for instance, AMC, I can go down and watch all the episodes of Walking, you know, the this season Walking Dead. It's kind of like having a built-in TiVo on a lot. Now, some channels are like ESPN's, like not like that.
Right,
I have to watch it. It's weird when they don't show you all the commercials.
Right,
it's like really strange why they wouldn't. You would think they would want, but yeah, it's like licensing, and if it's, you'd think anybody would want their commercial out there.
Right. Well, it has to do with a commercial. Right, but it has to do with the Voice Actors Guild of America.
It's kind of silly almost, but
yeah, it's just one of those things though. You know, it's like they have to get additional royalties if they play that commercial on internet TV.
We watch all the TV we want though with Netflix for $30 a month.
Sure. And so Sling TV is a great option, but now with them adding the Fox Sports regional affiliate, that's huge.
Yeah, it really is.
Because, so, I mean, Fox Sports Southwest. Regional. That's right. Which right now, I think that would also include
Cowboys games on it.
Well, Cowboys games are still local.
Fox.
But you'd get all of the Mavericks, all of the Stars, and all of the Rangers games for the most part.
Interesting.
Yes. So, interesting. I mean, and they have Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports 2, which is like ESPN 1, ESPN 2. And so, you know, the only games you'd be missing would be like the Wednesday night baseball games.
And they'll
and
have
Sunday
Sports
night.
Center type
They have
show.
Fox Sports Live, which is the same show, basically.
Yeah, so catch
and
all
actually,
the...
it's funnier.
Okay.
So, I mean, because, you know, Sports Center used to be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember that? Now it's just... yeah, exactly. Now it's just news, basically.
Yeah, or it's silly. It's kind of... they get off in political and stuff sometimes.
I noticed
it's kind of like,
I'm not a big fan of ESPN as much as I used to be. I used to be all over it, and now it's...
I watch it 24 hours a day, used to, and now it's like,
Fox Sports 1, to me, is a better sports station overall. So, I mean, look, you might think about it. If you do it, let us know. I'd love to know. Okay, I do want to talk about this. Something I have been watching. I'm almost ashamed because I feel like I'm going back to, like, middle school, but I signed up for WWE Network for WrestleMania. Okay, because...
it's better than what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah. What were you thinking?
Fuller House.
We said Fuller House last time.
Okay.
WWE Network is... I signed up... Well, here's the thing. You got 1 month free, and you got WrestleMania for free. And I wanted to see Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker. Because when I was watching wrestling, when I was in middle school, high school, Shane McMahon was a big deal. Mm-hmm. I loved to watch him. He'd do this crazy stuff. And he did do something pretty crazy. He jumped off of, you know, a 25-foot cage onto a table. And so that's pretty impressive for anybody. And so I watched that match. That's really the only match I had interest in. But now that I have it, I'm kind of using this free month, and I'm going back, and they have this this series called the Monday Night Wars, where basically it's a documentary about how WWF and WCW were going at it on Monday nights during the late 90s. Yeah. And during the late 90s, it seemed like just everybody was a wrestling fan, because that's when it was so popular. You had both organizations going at it, but... It kind of goes through the whole story and the different facets of what went into the Monday Night War, basically.
Wow.
So every Monday night, they would go live head-to-head, WCW, WWF. And so it's really interesting. Some great stories there. And I don't know. It's just, it's interesting. It reminds me of my childhood to go back and watch them, because that's when I really did, I say childhood, I was like a teenager. But, you know, it takes me back to that time.
It's like a resurgence in... I mean, WrestleMania was huge this year.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that was just, I mean, having an AT&T stadium, you know, having all of the sitting room and everything. A lot of our friends were there because they live in the Dallas area. And so it was big this year. I don't know if it was bigger than any other year. I mean, some of the stuff that happened. The main event to me was terrible. Everything else was better than the main event. Like, every other match was better than the main event. Tim, you know, there's still a part of me, though, that loves professional wrestling. I'm not going to lie. And, you know, after this, I talked to one of my friends. I'm like, maybe we should go to a pro wrestling fantasy camp, you know, and just try it out. I'm like, I want to bounce off the ropes once just to, you know, just to have an experience. I don't know. But, you know, I don't watch pro wrestling hardly at all, Tim. But just because I got the WWE Network, I'm picking kind of it back up. And it's kind of fun. So, I mean, you know, it's $10 a month, which to me is expensive for what it is. I understand you get all the pay-per-views. So if you're the kind of fan who buys all the pay-per-views anyway, it's way cheap.
Maybe so, yeah.
Okay, but I'm definitely a casual fan at this point. I'll probably cancel it after my month's up. But it is fun to go on there and watch some of the content and see some of the stuff. If we have pro wrestling fans out there, I'd love to hear from you guys if you're signed up for WWE Network, what you think of it. But I'm enjoying just watching the documentaries and stuff they have on there is really interesting. So I'm not watching any of the live wrestling at this point, you know, just that stuff. But WrestleMania was a big deal. I mean, I did watch it, mm-hmm. and it was, I fell asleep in the main event. That's how boring the main event was.
Wow.
It just didn't get me at all. But I mean, I saw The Rock come out. He came out. Stone Cold, Mick Foley came out at one mm-hmm. point. You know, I mean, I'm looking for all the guys I remember, mm-hmm. you know, watching wrestling for. And so, you know, it was fun. It was good to watch, but I don't know if I'm going to watch anything else. I don't think it's going to get me back in. It seems like the storylines aren't as good. Storylines used to be really good with wrestling, and now it's just not the same. So there you go. I'm picking back up. I picked it up temporarily. I picked up WWE programming. So, but I probably won't be doing it very much longer.
Okay.
So. Anyway, so that's the one thing I've been watching. I've been watching that documentary. I did read a great book, which I posted on my personal Facebook page, and I think I posted on the Arcade Repair Tips one too. Console Wars, which is about mm-hmm. the battle between Sega and Nintendo during kind of the same time as the pro wrestling we're talking about, during that early 90s, late 90s kind of time frame, the 90s period. And that's a great book. It's written like a movie. So even if you're the kind of person like me who doesn't like to read, not a huge reader, it's not that I don't like to read.
I'm getting where I read more than I used to.
Right. I'm not a big reader, but if something grabs me, boy, it grabs me. It's like, you know, I can't put it down. Exactly. And so this really did. It grabbed me from the time I read it. I got through it in a week, which for me is just totally uncommon. There's other books that I've enjoyed, just to give you my personal preference. I love Moneyball. Moneyball is a great book. And then I also read, you know, some parenting stuff and other things. I mean, I read a lot of financial, economic type books too. I mean, so, but most of them I take a long time to get through. So, but this one I got through in a week. I couldn't put it down. And when it was over, I kind of like missed it. You know, missed reading it. So if you guys are at all interested, and I think it hits our audience pretty well, if you're interested in that kind of that battle between Sega and Nintendo before the Super Nintendo came along, and you know, Sega was kind of whooping Nintendo as far as the, you know, selling consoles and things like mm-hmm. that. Great story, just a great, and it's very dramatized.
Okay,
it's probably not the exact history, right, but it gives it to you in this movie type fashion that's really enjoyable. So.
All
right, okay, Tim, I'm done. What do you got?
Well, you know, if we talked about most stuff, just I'm about done too. It's been kind of late. we did talk about, just throwing that out there, in between shows, we did say that, you know, we're really excited to be going to the Southern Fried Game Room Expo this year. Maybe we're thinking that a trip a year or two would be nice. So if there's one in your area, I don't know if we could do the Southern Fried every year, but maybe next year we could go somewhere else. And so... Yeah. Nothing else for the getaway of it. I think that's what I'm looking to more than anything is right. the getting out of town and to spend time with you and just to see some people that we haven't seen in a while, and then just meet a lot of people. So if you have something in your area and you think that we would, you know, you know some of the organizers or something that would be interested, because it helps. Sometimes we go and we can promote and talk or do a podcast that helps us promote some of our things that we do. So that would be cool.
Yeah, and definitely. I think, Tim, you know, we've made, this will be kind of my second trip back here, first trip to the Southern Fried Game Room Expo. We would like to hit some stuff on the West Coast at some point, because, I mean, I feel like we've hit the East Coast now pretty well. So maybe at some point we'll do something on the West Coast. Of course, California Extreme would be a big dream, but there's some other stuff out there that might be really interesting as well. Mm-hmm. So maybe at some point we can do that, Tim. I think that would be really great as well. Tim, what about movies?
I still have not seen Batman vs. Superman.
Me neither.
And I'm kind of, you know, it was one of those that I didn't really feel that compelled to go see, but then I've heard some things, you know, it's kind of like the movies that the critics hate, I usually end up liking.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I probably want to go see that. It's coming to the drive-in movie here, which, you know, I know a lot of people have that, and I thought maybe when it comes to drive-in, it's always a double feature. I think I may go.
Yeah,
and take Landon. I think he would like to see it. So that's kind of one on my radar. There's a couple movies that are coming out, but, you know, it's just, man, even finding time to go to the movies these days seems, you know, because we're shutting down and getting sitter or whatever you need to do, got to do sometimes. But And then, you know, sometimes you pay a lot of money and you get behind that person that's kicking you in the seat or whatever. You know, and you're like, so the Studio Movie Grill has become a favorite of mine where we go and can eat in the big chairs and lots of room. So we'll figure out. I haven't really, just saying, you gotta see.
I saw the first movie we ever took my daughter to, actually, Zootopia.
Oh, okay.
By Disney. Much better than I thought it was going to be. I mean, going in, I kind of had low expectations for it, but it captivated my daughter the entire time and kept her
That's really surprising.
Yeah, and kept her in her seat, and she watched the whole thing. She had a really great time, and we went with one of her friends and their family, and so we had a really great time. I think Whitney from Broken Token said he also saw it and was surprised by how good it was, and I would say the same thing. So if you've got young kids, or you just enjoyed, you know, those type of movies. It's made by the same animation studio who did Wreck-It Ralph.
Right.
So, I mean, it's Disney Animation Studios.
Wreck-It Ralph 2 is coming out, right?
At some point, we don't know.
There's no date or release
or schedule or anything. But, yeah, so this is done by the same studio. So it's actually really, really fun. I mean, it was much better than I thought it was going to be.
Man vs. Snake is now playing in some areas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So. That's right, yeah. Very good documentary about the guy with the high score nibbler, right?
Yeah.
So that's good stuff. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff, I think, coming to him. Now, here's the thing. I'm very hyped for Civil War. Captain America Civil War. I really will try to see that on Friday if I can, or whatever day it comes out. I think it's Friday. Mm-hmm. If I can, because I do love the Marvel movies. Those are my favorite by far.
I think I'm with you there. They always are. To me, they're my favorite.
I don't know if there's any other movies I'm really hyped for this summer, though, besides that one. I will definitely watch that one, but other than that, I don't know if there's anything else I'm really excited about.
Star Wars out on DVD now. I may watch that again.
I bought it, so I do have it. So, and we've watched it, and it's still good the second time. My wife got to see it, loved it, because she had not seen it. We were going to go. I was going to take her on a date, and it ended up being stormy.
My wife just thought it was going to be so sci-fi nerdy that she didn't see it, and I bet when she watches it, she'll get into it. She'll watch it. I think it's going to be different than she expected it to be. So I'm probably renting that this week.
Yeah, you should buy it. Just go ahead. I bought mine for $17 Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cheap. It was cheap. I don't know if it still is. But it was a great deal. Target had a sale on eBay for it. So it was a good deal, though. And I tell you what, it's a great movie. I mean, you're going to own them all. If you're even in the least bit of a Star Wars fan, you're going to own them all at some point. So you might as well buy them. I am interested in Rogue One, which is the Star Wars movie that's coming out this year. And it's Rogue One, a Star Wars story. They just released a trailer not too long ago. It looks interesting. It kind of happens before Episode 7, right? But, you know, after Episode 6.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of in that in-between. And so, very interesting to see. Yeah, kind of interesting to see how they play off that. The trailer was good. I mean, it was entertaining. And so, you know, it's not like I have to see every Star Wars movie. But if it looks interesting and good, I'm definitely going to at least check it out and give the benefit of the doubt. So, I mean, there's something about Star Wars to me that's still, you know, just means a fun movie to me. So,
and before we go, you know, I know we like to stay politically neutral because we have a lot of friends. And I think most people would know kind of where we would side on some issues. But one thing that, John, is really bugging me is and I think is really coming to light during this election, is the election process.
Yes.
I mean, you know, Trump is talking about it. Bernie Sanders won by landslide and gets less delegates in a state that he won. So I'm like, you know, this whole process to me really is, and I think that's going across the board. I think most people, it's really getting to that point where you feel, is my vote really count at all?
Well, and it's funny that you should mention that, Tim, because I was mentioning to a friend of mine, I was like, you know, I voted in primaries the last two election cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Neither time did my candidate become the candidate for my party.
Right.
So, and the first two definitely.
But at least you feel like you had a vote or a say-so.
I did have a vote, but I mean,
what about Colorado?
Right.
You know? It's like Ted Cruz wins and then we have a vote. It's like, how do you win? I don't know. You know, so I'm just saying.
And on the Democrat side, you got super delegates who can vote for whoever they want to, and apparently they're all breaking for Hillary.
Yeah.
It's like, how does that work?
So just, you know, like I said, we stay politically neutral, but just to say, man, something just not right, you know. I don't know, it needs to be fixed. So hopefully, you know, as I enter into the last stage of my presidential campaign to push for the White House, in the end,
Tim Peterson, what other choice do you have, really?
Right. And so, you know, I'm just thinking, I'm thinking that I don't, you know, I just want the final vote. I don't care about your delegate vote, you know. Just, yeah. I just want the people to get out.
You just
want
to know who you're running against,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there you go. That's right. So. Just make up your mind. I can't figure it out who it's going to be. You know, one, the person people are voting for is not getting the delegates.
Who knows? Who knows who it's going to be?
I don't know. I guess it's whoever they choose or have chosen already,
yeah,
right? Well, it seems like. And yeah. And so... Really, I brought that up, John, just because I know there are people still watching. And whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, whatever, communist, whatever your...
Coin-op party.
Yeah. Whatever the party affiliation you have, I wanted to encourage people to still vote. Right. I have a feeling that somehow, whether it's voting now or it's voting on the next person that can change the laws... Or whatever is that I don't want people to feel like their vote doesn't matter.
And if you don't like either one of them, you write in Tim Peterson.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
So, and that's the problem, Tim. Is I really feel like I mean I look at all the candidates right now that are still in the race, hardly like any of them.
Right.
I mean I don't.
Me too. Yeah.
I mean that's what it comes down to.
When we're saying politically neutral, we're being honest because right. there's not somebody that we're just in the tank for at all.
Right. Right.
Because. The cons are outweighing the pros in just about every area for me, for every one of them.
All the candidates have their problems. It doesn't matter who you look at.
I would just... vote for D, none of the above, if I had a choice. Or I would maybe I do need to get my name out there more.
Yeah,
but,
that's right.
You know,
what other choice do you have?
Anyway, really? But I just want to encourage you that if that upsets you, like kind of upsets me, is that. You know what, though, I can vote locally, I can get more involved in my school elections, I can get more involved in races around here. Don't let that discourage you. Don't feel like your vote doesn't matter, because it matters. If it doesn't matter to you, let it know that you, like Johnson said, even if your candidate wins, you know that you supported, you did what you felt was right, and don't let somebody else dictate that you made a wrong choice, or if you like somebody, or go see for yourself. Don't listen to what everybody else says about them. I've seen some really good reports where somebody said, well, I didn't like Bernie Sanders at all. I went to his campaign. I realized the stuff he was saying was not what the media was saying. Same thing was said about Trump. Some people were saying, well, you know, he's being pegged as this. I went to him. That's not what was said. So, you know, I mean, don't let the media control what you're hearing. Speak for yourself, have a voice and opinion of your own self, whoever you like. And if you're a Hillary fan or whatever, make sure that you're voting for, or you know, these kids are like, well, you don't like Hillary, how come? And they're like, I don't like her. Well, you know, be that guy. Know why you don't like her, why you like Ted Cruz, or why you like Bernie Sanders. Know why you like that person. At least have something to say. And it's like, if somebody says, why do you like play Ms. Pac-Man? Have a reason. You know, don't just say, well, you know, I don't like Galaga. Well, why not? You know, that's just my, I'll get off my soapbox now, but just know. Well, you know, stand for something at least.
And it's like we talked about before, Tim. And you know, at one point in my life, I was really big into journalism, and I thought I wanted to be a reporter. I thought that'd be the coolest thing. The problem with the media now on both sides is that you can't trust them. You can't trust the people on the right. You can't trust the people on the left
to tell you
the correct information. What you have to do is you have to go on YouTube and you have to find the speeches that these people are making without any interruption. Just listen to the words that are coming out of their mouths and form opinions based on the words that are coming out of their mouth. Not the words that are coming out of a reporter's mouth. Not the words that are coming out of a pundit's mouth. But out of the words that come out of their mouths. If you do that, that will make you an informed voter. And if you agree with those words, why do you agree with them? If you disagree with those words, why do you disagree with them? But that way, you'll know exactly where you stand and which candidates you
stand. And learn to appreciate people that don't believe stuff that you do.
Absolutely.
We might not agree on everything, but you know, it's like, learn to like and have open debates and good discussion without it being ugly or throwing punches or, you know, just mudslinging and stuff. If you can't disagree and come up, be logical, come up with some reason to disagree, have a good argument, have something to back up your argument, but then just let, at the end of the day, we're just people.
Right.
You know, we're all on the big rock together and we need to get along. And whether your favorite game is Donkey Kong and mine Centipede, it doesn't really matter as long as we're still playing and we still can enjoy something that we have.
You see, now you're going to get me on one of my soapboxes, because I have a soapbox that we shouldn't let disagreements divide us. The worst thing we should ever say about somebody is we disagree. Okay, I will never call you names because we disagree. I will never get defensive because we disagree. The worst thing I'll ever say is that we do not see eye to eye. You and me have differing opinions, mm-hmm. or we just plain disagree. And you know what, though? Just because we disagree doesn't mean you can't be my friend. Doesn't mean we can't hang out. Doesn't mean we can't be cordial to each other. Doesn't mean we can't, you know, we can't do a lot of things. I mean, people think because you disagree so vehemently that you must basically be at odds with each other. But the thing about it is like you said, Tim, we're all human. It doesn't matter who you are. And there are redeeming qualities about every human, and it doesn't matter who they are, even if they disagree with you.
And if you played any video games at all, you know there's an alien race out there.
That's right.
And when they come, we're going to need to bond together.
That's right.
So
Independence Day, is that what you're saying?
Whatever. I know I'm getting off on my political platform again, but I know the aliens are coming. Every video game has warned us.
I can see the headlines now. Candidate Peterson believes in aliens. Okay. I can see it now.
Well, yeah, I do. I've been playing it. They're in every video game. Where do you think they came from? Nobody just thought of that.
Have you not seen Pixels? Right?
Yes. Have you not seen Pixels?
So,
we warned you.
So, no, but going back to disagreement real quick, Tim. I mean, a lot of people think that we have to let disagreement divide us. Look, it's okay to listen to people and still disagree with them. Let them talk.
Right.
Still disagree with them. And just say, you know, look, I see your point, but I that's not what I believe. That's not part of my moral compass or whatever it is. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
But be open to and know that you're not right on everything either.
That is exactly correct.
I'm dumb. I'm just smart enough to know I don't know everything about arcade repair. And so if I'm wrong, call me out and let me teach me something. Let me be a better person. Do it in a way that won't offend or whatever. But you know, if I'm wrong, my goal is fix the game.
Right.
You know, and so my goal as a person is to be a better person no matter what. So, you know, I'm not right on everything. And I've learned the older I get, the more I realize I don't have to be right. I want to be teachable. I want to be somebody that can learn things. I learn something every day working on games that I didn't know before.
Well,
especially new games.
And Tim, I don't know about you, but in my time on this planet, I have come to a greater understanding on some things than what I had initially. I had formed opinions maybe based not necessarily on wrong fact, but the way I felt at the time. Okay, and your feelings can change over time about certain things. You can actually get harder or softer depending on what the topic is, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so sometimes 10 years ago, you might not agree with the stance that you took because at the time things were different or whatever the case may be. And now your views may be changing. And so I'm not saying that you're changing necessarily what you believe or who you are, but you're coming to a better understanding of what you want to believe and the greater understanding of things that you're trying to form opinions about. Okay. Mm-hmm. And not knowing all the facts, if you form an opinion on something without knowing all the facts, you might be wrong.
Right.
And that's what a lot of us do, unfortunately, is we form opinions without having all the information. Mm-hmm. And so later on, we find out the information and we realize, oh, we were all wrong, whatever the case may be. So once we find out more information, you know, it does change sometimes your opinion of something that you might have been very passionate about and been on the other side of.
I try to walk a mile in everybody's shoes. Realize that person disagrees with you. They were raised.
There's a reason.
There's a way they were raised, where they grew up. What part of the country they live in or whatever may have a lot to do or say, and you may feel differently had you been raised or something different. Main thing is look for those things that unite us, and gaming's one of them. And that's what's so great about arcade games. When we can go to a festival and we can all play or we can challenge each other, that's what makes this thing so great.
Absolutely. And like I said, don't let our disagreements divide. That's the key, you know. Always be respectful of others for what they believe. Always listen to them. But at the end of the day, tell yourself, you know, I'm not going to stop being your friend just because we disagree about something.
Right.
And always take that approach. I think you'll find that it will really help you in life. You will go around a whole lot less bitter.
Yes.
Is the key.
Yeah.
You don't. Who wants to walk around being bitter and just saying, you're wrong. You're wrong all the time.
Right.
Nobody wants that. I don't like that. Don't be the first one to jump on people for disagreeing with you.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, and that's what it comes down to. Always give people the benefit of the doubt. Even though it's tough sometimes. I understand. It's hard. But I always try to do that. Always give people the benefit of the doubt. And that's the lesson for tonight, folks. We're going to wrap it up right there. And
I feel like that the more you know screams you come across. You know,
like, yeah.
Whatever, guys. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for listening. We're tired, and the longer it gets, the crazier the discussion.
We've already gone on too long for the after show. Tim, the after show will soon be as long as the regular show if we keep this up. So, everybody, have a good night. Thanks for listening to the after show. And if you have any topics for the after show, please let us know. And Tim, good reminder, we take questions on more than just arcade games. So if you're having relationship troubles, if you're having other issues, feel free to send those questions as well to questions@arcaderepairtips.com, and we'll try to help you out. Okay, guys, have a good night. We'll talk at you next month.